I thought we'd start continuing a devotional thought in John 15. We've been in there the last couple of meetings for our thought, and it starts, John 15 started with the I am the vine, abide in me, passage from Jesus. And he followed that up with the love one another section. And so this final part of this chapter, let me read that for us. If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have sinned, but now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would not have sinned. But now they have both seen and hated me, and my Father as well. But they have done this to fulfill the word that is written in the law, they hated me without a cause. When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me, and you will testify also, because you have been with me from the beginning. So this is a more difficult section to hear. It's nice to be reminded to abide in him, absolutely necessary, and then to love one another is how we put flesh on that. And so here is the encouragement to realize that when it's hard, and when we will get persecuted, and when we do, it's because they don't know the Father. And maybe that'll help. It seemed like it helped Jesus. It's like, like on the cross, being crucified, when he said, Father, forgive them, they do not know what they're doing. Realizing these are folks that don't know the Father, that's why they're treating us the way they're treating us. And hang in there with the Holy Spirit. He will testify. We just need to join in that testimony. So that's what stuck out to me here as a follow-up to those other sections. Any other thoughts about that? Just thought that was worth keeping in front of us. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's good. I kind of wonder what it means when it says, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. Mm-hmm. But now they have no excuse for their sin. And then later on, if I had not done among them the works no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. Is it just that specific rejection of him as the Messiah or the Son of God that
pointed out their guilt?
Well, that's the sin. That's the sin that they became aware of, and, or I guess committed, but yeah. Because he came, yeah. It just seems odd to say they wouldn't be guilty
also
of sin.
Maybe the sin that they weren't trusting God fully, but they didn't have really an instance where that was tested. Yeah. So then when Jesus showed up, it was tested, and
it makes me think a lot of
became manifest.
The Matthew party, like the first VBS lesson, and Jeff had talked on it a few weeks before, I think, in one of his sermons, that the idea of the sick need the doctor, but if you don't think you're sick, you don't need a doctor. You've already sort of sinned in your life, or that sin is already there, and it's present, and you can't get out of it. It's like later talks about the blind. If you're blind and you can't see it,
right. John's
you can't
gospel
get healed.
Also,
there's no other way. And so John is very big about that kind of you're condemning yourself by not accepting God. Because even at the end, he does a spirit piece about that that's what's really supposed to be guiding us.
All right. Well, let's update each other on what's happening with different folks. I do hope after that these next several bullets here, 3 through 7, go pretty quickly. And we'll spend most of our time tonight talking about Ethan and how things are going there with updates. But let's try to knock some of these out. But we'll take all the time we need with the folks that we should pray for. Steve, if you wouldn't mind taking some notes okay. and being able to pray at the end of that.
So was Whitney pregnant?
Yes.
Yeah, Whitney Cannon.
Okay.
Yeah, that was my update, is the Cannons. They're still separated, and he is living with his mother. And he is very open to wanting to reconcile, and he's been tight-lipped with me about what, and that was before the pregnancy news. She seemed excited about it, and so.
They were pretty close on Sunday. So, which is very interesting. So, my assumption was that they were back together.
Oh, and that might have changed I think I talked to him Thursday. So
I'm trying. In the pregnancy news had come out before that.
Correct.
So, like the week, like the Monday or so, or the Sunday before that. Yeah, and I talked to him yesterday for 5-10 minutes. But he did not say that they were separated still.
Okay.
But it doesn't mean that they are not. It's just that.
I think they're living in the same home. She went to, I don't know if it was long term or just temporary. She went out actually over to his mother's house and was spending the night over there. So I don't know what the circumstance precipitated that, but mm-hmm. I know that was something that was happening late last week. So, and I asked Michael, does that mean you guys are back together? And he didn't kind of confirm that. He just didn't really say that meant they were back together. So, and I don't know how long she's going to stay there. I don't know what those, that's all about.
Now their home that they moved into, are they still residents there?
Yeah.
Okay.
As far as keeping up with her rent?
Yeah.
Okay.
They needed some help, but they're still there. And that might be part of the problem, is Whitney can't say no to relatives that would like to stay there. And she's got a cousin and children living there. And so I don't know if that's oil and water with Michael or part of the challenge.
But he's doing White Castle all night long, and then he's working for the funeral home during the daytime. So he got 2 hours of sleep between Friday morning and Sunday morning. Mm. So that's why he was out in the lobby sleeping most of the time.
That can't be good.
So definitely that's one of those things that, I mean, for a family, I know what my struggles are with little sleep, in my mind of little sleep, but with only 2 hours is even less. So it's multiple days a week.
Anybody else?
Patty Lacoste Arnold has a meeting with her attorney on Wednesday and has to go to court on Thursday mm-hmm. and plead innocent or guilty to the charges that are against her. And just a little bit of backdrop. I won't go into details and extensively, but the family court case was dropped after several years, and so this is a criminal case against her. And her lawyer who was one of the top guys in St. Louis in this area, was sure that the prosecuting group would drop this case and didn't. And it had been delayed. This has been years in the making. In fact, almost no activity whatsoever other than having to show up on certain dates and then, no, we're not, that is not on the docket today or whatever, and then you're dismissed. And So then out of the nowhere, this comes, and somewhere in there, it seems as though her attorney realizes he wasn't going to get it dismissed, and so was advocating or negotiating a plea bargain for her. And she was just flabbergasted because she never indicated any interest in taking a plea bargain, and feels and just trying to listen to her again, not take sides, anything on, but just really trying to listen, for lack of a better word, bullied by her own attorney into taking this plea bargain, or things could get much worse. And so it seems as though it's all going to happen this week, and one way or the other. So I am actually going to go meet with her attorney on Wednesday just to listen, have another set of ears on this, because she's not quite processing things very well, and she doesn't know even, and they really didn't tell her, and I'm sure there's a range, could be probation or it could be 3 years in jail or prison, even under a plea bargain is what it seems like. And under, you know, if it goes to trial, it could be dismissed or it could be 30 years, who knows? And so she's trying to weigh all those options and in her mind.
What are the charges?
What are the charges?
Yeah.
Abuse of her kids. Medical abuse of her children. That, you know, she's kind of, in short, she's one of those, and I know I've seen the postings years and years ago out on Facebook, and you're like, oh, that is a weird post, you know, kind of thing, and in terms of not having a, like, somebody who just sees things that may or may not be there, that may be the case, or it may have been the kids were just, I mean, I see it in our household, kids, you know, that have special needs beyond belief, and people belittle it and talk about peanut allergies like it's nothing when it can kill them, and you know, stuff like that. So I don't know what the truth is, okay, but in any event, what happened is that at some point someone thought her course of action was completely wrong, and she'd gone to get some surgeries that they said were not merited, and whether they actually have a case, and whether in her mind nobody has the full file of understanding that's trying to make the case against her. She feels like she has fallen prey to, you know, maybe she did some things wrong, but the smell of it turned some people against her that have been unrelenting. And even the ones who originally brought the case, it kind of bounced around a little bit. So it's been weird. And the whole, again, the family system dropped it all finally.
Yeah, and they got the kids back.
And she got the kids back, and they both live at home. And both kids are extremely troubled, you know. But I think, as she would say, they got to take some responsibility for their own lives at this, you know. I mean, and for different reasons. I'm sorry?
So who's her attorney, do you know?
Yeah. I have it, and I can talk to you about it in a little bit, but I think it's in Clayton, and I mean, I got it right here.
Yeah, and a lot of it's in the newspaper, was in the newspaper, so you can go online.
Scott Rosenblum.
Big time.
Yeah, he is big time.
But it also, I don't think he was prepared to litigate the case, is what she feels. In other words, that wasn't, he never thought that it would come to this, so now he's kind of, and all I'm going from, not from guilt or innocence, is just the way she felt belittled and almost dehumanized by him and by his subordinate in the meeting. And so I'm just going to go in and try to, you know, advocate for listening and be able to think this through. And that's Wednesday afternoon. So I would ask for your prayers on that. And then Thursday, something's going to go down. And again, it may be the best course. I don't know, but she doesn't. It was like, this was never even part of the conversation, and this comes completely out of the blue. And then he's asking me, well, who's your medical expert? And she said, well, 4 years ago, I had the name of somebody, and as if, you know, she said it was very strange the way he turned all that on me, and it's in the file. But you know, we've gone through COVID and everything else, and she doesn't even know. She had no time to even reconnect with the medical expert to see if he would be available for or accessible for something like this. So I'm saying as much as I know. I'm just saying what and trying to listen. She was just very much on the edge of just absolute defeat in life. Let's put it out that way.
Okay. I wasn't here Sunday. I was traveling. Had a good Father's Day visit with the family. And so were things good yesterday? Go well? Mm-hmm.
Good.
We had a real good attendance in class, and it seemed like very engaged conversations up here. You know, that were, you know, good. People working through stuff. So.
Follow up on the sermon. That's good.
Yep.
All right. Well, Steve, would you mind praying about these things?
Father, thank you for allowing us to serve your kingdom in the role that we are. We ask your blessings on this church, especially we ask your blessings as we go through the transition. And Father, looking over the last 3 years, all the transition, and we've seen how you've blessed us, and we thank you for that. We've seen how you've blessed us in this search for the minister to our preaching minister, and thank you for leading us there. And I ask you to bless our conversation we have and talking about Ethan in this meeting and the decision that we make. Father, we ask your prayers for Whitney and Michael, for Whitney and her health with the pregnancy, for Whitney and Michael and the health of their marriage, they just really struggle, and they've got a strong faith. And just ask you to bless them, bless the desires of their heart, and just we ask your blessings on them and surround them with your people that can give them good counsel. Father, we also pray for Patty Lacoste Arnold, and just it's been several years of just turmoil being with the courts. And Father, we ask your will to be done here. We pray for justice. We pray for mercy. We pray for whatever is best for that family. Be with Jeff as he goes over on Wednesday and meets with the lawyer and with Patty Lacoste. I just ask you to bless that time and that Jeff can be a blessing to them. Father, for our sermon series on salvation, then we ask you to bless that and open our hearts and minds for your reality of salvation. Bless Jeff as he leads our thoughts with that. And Father, be with Camp Neotez that started last week and this week with the little kids, and then next week with the middle school and then the girls and then the all teen. Just we ask your blessings there with that, and we just love what is going on there, where more of your children, our children, are getting a glimpse of your son. Father, especially be with all the directors and give them discernment and wisdom as they plan their weeks. And I pray that you keep everyone safe. Again, bless this meeting we have here tonight. Thank you for each of the gentlemen here. It's your son Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. All right, number three. Jeff's going to be absent on July 8th, and had a thought about maybe inviting Kaylin. And so you want to elaborate just a little bit on the topic that day and things?
The topic? That topic I think is of her choosing. I did talk to her. We just kind of floated this idea a few months ago if there would ever be an opportunity and that the elders saw fit that would be you know, suitable for that to happen, and would she ever be interested? And so we revisited that a couple of weeks ago, and she's just, this is really the first time where she said, I think I'd like to do that. Well, she'd said that before, but she also was limited by, constrained by her own time frame and getting to know the job and all of that. And so this was the first time where she actually felt like that slot would work. She was going to use an Old Testament text on Gideon, which is interesting, and I don't think I've ever preached on Gideon. It sounds like a good story of faith. If, you know, again, I told her that don't overthink this until we have this meeting tonight, and I told her that a couple of weeks ago because I just wanted to make sure that it was, you know, we're all kosher with this, and that's what we've got.
Will there be other disruptions in the series because of different things?
There will be one more, and that will be the back to school Sunday. Okay, that's in August. So we got one in July and one in August. And as far as the class time, we'll take the class time during the July 8th time when Kaylin is, when she preaches that morning. We'll have class up here, but it'll be more of a kind of a summarizing review of the things, because we're kind of tackling some big things, and so there'll be plenty to, you know, kind of
keep
that going, you know what I mean, in terms of more of a review, that's the word I'm looking for, of the first 4 weeks.
But you won't be there to do it?
Betty would probably lead that, but then again, it'll be I'll develop the materials, and then And then the class will, there'll be more of a small group. Same style.
We can zoom you in on two TVs at the same time.
Yeah.
What I'll be doing on that morning. I'm going to be in Raleigh.
Well, I have had one member encourage me to promote Kaylin to be an associate minister. She's just awesome. And so kind of the genie, you know,
yeah.
some official minister capacity instead of the way we're using her, which is nothing wrong with the way we're using her. So anyway, that was interesting encouragement. That was very
good.
Recent.
That's good.
So, I think Kaylin's well respected.
Well, we've stated on paper that we are okay with women preaching. Never quite had a solo woman preach yet, and so.
Yeah, and I think we always have been, I think in the same paper we said, yes, however we want to do it discerningly,
mm-hmm.
right?
So,
yeah.
So here we are discerning.
That's right.
That's
right, we are discerning, that's my point.
We didn't, you know, when Shelby and Carson did it, did we get any negative then?
I think it was more about maybe stylistically. Yep, it was hard to follow a little bit, and mm-hmm. maybe a little bit disjointed.
Yeah.
You know, so people had, it was more about the way it was done, not the fact that it was done.
Sarah and Phillips was positive. I don't think we had any.
Sarah and Phillips.
Which was the exact opposite of theirs, because they were very much in line with each other and mm-hmm. didn't have that problem that the other two had.
And McKaylee, we didn't have any negative feedback from her that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
No, she, yeah.
Only once.
It was a Christmas.
That was a Christmas.
It was a Christmas.
And Keaton also spoke that day. So
but she did
each one did kind of a mini thing. I don't think
Senior Sunday. She did Senior Sunday once, I thought.
Maybe she did.
But because COVID was one of them, so she didn't do that one. But then the next one I think she did do.
Okay.
But it was like a small little clip.
I can't think of a sweeter spirit, as far as being received,
right,
as someone genuinely. So I think it would be a good thing. The only downside to me would be if there would be some reaction that could hurt her somehow, you know. But she's I'm sure she
She's a big girl. She understands. She understands.
Well, and if we let everybody know ahead of time, I think that would get rid of some of those things because those people won't show.
They won't. They won't be surprised.
So, and they won't be surprised either. Yeah. So that sort of leads it to, you had a week. You could have decided not to come. You could have talked to one of the elders.
What do you mean by letting them know, though?
I mean, well, just like the week, like Jeff can announce the week before that he's not going to be
out of town.
I would say, Jeff's not going to be here. Kaylin's going to speak, but I think we don't need to speak much beyond that.
Just saying. Jeff's going to be. Jeff can say even in his
try not make it an issue.
Right.
Are you okay with it in the bulletin, just as a communication?
Yeah, I mean, if it's just like that, I think that'd be great.
Yeah, it's just a matter of fact.
Yeah, right. I think it's great, too, because people are used to seeing her up there every Sunday, so I feel comfortable around her already.
The only other thing that might, I don't know if this helps, and I don't want to do this if it felt too paternal, but we might have a... not all that different from some of my sermons where one of the shepherds will pray at the end and have some kind of response. And we don't always do that, but we do that on occasion. And would that be helpful, or is that unnecessary, or would we want to build it in? I'm saying we could do any of those, and maybe it doesn't kind of leave her out there quite as vulnerable if it's a little bit more even presented as Kaylin will speak and we'll have a prayer of response. I don't think I'd make it a response as much as, because that sounds like
to affirm.
But a prayer and in response.
So I have a pet peeve, and that is when preachers like have a sermon that makes a point, and then the elder comes up and makes a different point.
Yeah.
Even if it's not like disagreeing, it's just a different point. Because I feel like a sermon kind of has that conclusion, then you go home and think about it, and it kind of undermines it.
That's a good pet peeve to have.
I think you make a very good point, Ross, and believe me, I've experienced it.
Sure, yeah.
So my point only would be that the prayer would be in... it would help continue the momentum of the sermon, not the other.
Affirm it,
And maybe not even be planned. I mean, it would be whoever the shepherd is that day, just make a point of
emphasizing that. Yeah, I think that.
Ask
would
for
good.
Her last point, and then say it one more time.
And it would, and we could still have the prayer like or the song like we normally do at the end, and not bringing the elder up necessarily right after the sermon, but just have it in its normal place.
Right.
It's great.
I thought maybe having a male do the communion thought would also be a balanced approach to things.
That's a good point.
For those that are hypersensitive. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, Sunday was different with two women on the stage leading worship, so we've never had that before.
It was not planned, I don't think.
It was not planned because... Chris and Katrina had COVID.
Oh my goodness.
So they were out and before church, I didn't realize they were supposed to sing. And then
I don't know who the bass
Kaylin told me that and then it still didn't
register.
It didn't register to me. That's why they were, I thought that we were just planning something different. And I was like, I just wasn't in the know. I was gone.
It was good.
When did Chris come down with COVID?
Huh?
When did Chris come down?
It must have been, I don't know, because we had it on Friday, right? And, I mean, we didn't have Friday. We were with him on Friday, but that was a week ago. But then, it was
4 days incubation.
Week. Yeah.
How you guys feeling? Yeah.
So far, so good.
You'll know it by the end of the day tomorrow.
Okay. You can hit a golf ball.
We'll get a woman there a male for the communion.
That's right, you're going to go ahead.
Thank you.
Ron Milligan gave us some input that I told my pass along. Brett did a nice summary of that in some of the thoughts that he had shared with an email earlier, but Ron is a bit hypersensitive to female leadership things, and so he requested, he understands that there might be a woman leading the praise team, but does she have to stand three steps in front of everyone else, making it obvious she's the leader? So that's a rather hypersensitive, and I told him that I would pass along his thoughts, appreciated him communicating, but it is a, you know, we had talked about, does the praise team even need to be in front? Do you sit in the front row? We don't want it to be a performance. They do a great job avoiding the performance and such. And for some reason, that's just aggravating to him to a small degree, and he wanted to communicate. And so I'm not advocating that we need to change anything. I think we, you know, things are going very well with that. But this is an opportunity, if you're hearing that from anybody else, you know, is there more of that thought than we're aware of?
Three steps ahead. I've never paid any attention that anybody's – I think they're in a straight line across.
Well, until recently, to be honest.
And I've not been in there for like a month.
I asked Carrie to step up.
Okay.
So I may have actually precipitated – what Ron's
you
concerned.
Rebel.
Yeah. Problems in
God. The things I create never even occurred to me that, but it should have after all these years. But because it was a little bit more reminiscent of when Jeremy led,
right.
For instance, there was a way in which he engaged the congregation. And so I in a very affirming way tried to help Carrie know that she has an amazing voice. That is fantastic. However, that's different from congregational engagement.
Correct.
And in order to get the congregational engagement, I think if she moved up, and I said the same thing to Chris Fuller as well, because both of them were very hesitant, kind of staying in the back. Again, this was my take on it. I won't have much of a say in a couple of months, but I think the point is still valid in terms of the point being, even if you go back years in our a cappella tradition, having the song leader, the more prominent that song leader was, the better it engages the congregational singing. And you just kind of lose the last five or eight rows of the church if you're not careful. So it's trying to help bring them out. That was the conversation. And so she did that. And she's actually, you know, trying to be more engaging, more conversational with trying to grow into the role. Mm-hmm. And I've been real proud of her for that. And so Ron's observation is on point. Unfortunately.
He's not the director. Who's Ron? Help me remember.
Ron and Joni?
Joni Milligan.
They bring Nancy in a wheelchair every Sunday.
Oh, okay. So yep. Very, yep.
Shorter couple. Yeah. Yeah.
Elvis right. Presley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. Elvis, yeah.
So what was – so your guys' conversation with him.
There he is in there.
So okay. Did you – what was the ending that we're going to talk about it or you're wrong, you need to change?
Basically, I told him that we were very comfortable with the things that were happening. We did not see that as anything out of bounds.
Yeah.
And that we wanted the praise team up front deliberately, but I would certainly pass along his perspective so that I wasn't the only one hearing it. That's pretty much where we left it.
And so we've heard him. I think it's, you can tell him that, you know, we talked about his concerns, but we don't think it's
Would it be any good for him to hear from one of I'd be glad to talk to Ron and just tell him that you brought it to us and talked about it.
I think that's good. That's a good 360. And even from a different elder indicates that it's been heard here. I like that, Don.
I'll bargain with him. I'll say, I'll fix your cell phone. And you just have to be happy.
Yeah.
Enjoy it.
Ron's struggling a little bit more in different ways, that's for sure.
On July 7th, he's going, or 8th, he's going to struggle probably a little bit more.
But I mean, I'm talking about more just with health and life and Joni and marriage and a lot of different things.
He's always a half empty. Half empty.
But they were at VBS
every
day,
and
they were busy every day, even though Ron doesn't like to be busy.
And Ron's
70s.
Yeah, so him and Ron Burge were the same age, I think, weren't they?
Well, he might be.
So he's getting close to the 80 mark. So, yeah, so it's. Yeah.
So just to have him up, I mean, it was just amazing for them to be up here doing what they're doing. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Joni has communicated to Amy that it is a burden for them to get Nancy. She does need a little bit of physical assistance in and out of the car, and that's getting harder and harder for Ron to do that. And if there was anybody else that we could encourage to join them in sharing that ministry of picking her up. So I'll mention that to all of us if you...
Yeah, they've been an amazing lifeline to her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So. To a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 1946 is when he was born. So whatever. So he'll be 80 in 2 years.
Yeah, 72 years. Yeah. All right. I put this next item on there because I just wanted to encourage you guys, but also mention something that I learned. The lock-in that happened week before Neotez, I guess, heard really good things about that event. Nathan did a great job organizing that, had like 26 or so, something like that, participants. Mm-hmm. Elizabeth ended up being a chaperone with him. When she learned that he didn't have any other volunteer chaperones,
wow. mm-hmm.
and she stepped up to offer to be that, she wasn't sure if he was going to go ahead and have it with no other chaperones. And so, not to tattle on him or something, but I wanted us to be aware and figure out, I'd like Nathan to feel empowered to cancel events when he doesn't have any volunteers. And as a new youth minister, I'm sure that's hard to do. Steve, you've got a lot of history with those kind of boundaries and things.
Yeah.
And so
I think he feels empowered to cancel because he was going to, there's a couple he was going to cancel. Maybe he canceled one because he didn't have the volunteers. I'll talk with him Thursday when we meet.
Okay.
So, yeah,
just that's good. To encourage him because it seemed like it was awesome. Elizabeth was very impressed with lots of aspects of it.
Yeah.
But just the notion that, you know, A, he was kind of, you know, didn't get a response, but then might have gone forward with the event on his own, and that wouldn't have been appropriate.
No.
So I'm
guessing he wouldn't have.
Okay.
But I think really he was going to.
He was?
So my understanding was that he was planning to have it, whether or not, and that's when Elizabeth said, I'll do it then.
Okay.
But so I would suggest, so me and Jeff made several suggestions of who to contact, but I don't think he did.
Okay.
So the one thing that I think he struggles with is asking people for help.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, most of us probably all sit.
Yeah.
As Brett goes down and cuts trees down
tonight
after we get to finish and whatever else. And me sitting up here all night long doing VBS. And so the struggling for help, asking for help, is, I think, one of his big things. Because you don't do that in the business world.
Yeah.
You learn to do the work or else you're going to get fired.
Yeah.
And we should tell him, you're not going to get fired for asking people for help. And it's probably better to ask for help and to have more help than to have less help.
Yeah.
And so to have more volunteers, which...
Yeah. He can't... surely he's been in this long enough, he knows you can't just do a broad ask and then expect...
Correct.
Like, you're going to... You have to ask people individually to...
And asking people for a lock-in is a different animal.
Yeah. It is. But you could have asked for two.
Separates them in from the
boys. Also do shifts.
Yeah, so that was the suggestion we had made to him, that if there's somebody could do half of it and then do the other half.
Yeah, we did suggest that.
Yeah, okay.
So
half the night. In fact, we were hoping that that would be the case.
For Elizabeth.
With Elizabeth, because that was really too much for her.
She got here at 10 o'clock in the morning and was here until 9 o'clock the next day.
Wow.
She did sleep some, I think, but it's still. And she worked most of it, so it was.
Yeah.
So I had a thought about that, too, because it, you know, I dropped my grandchildren off some of their friends, and it was really a nice event. They enjoyed it. I just wonder if the timing impacted that a little bit, meaning if we're just coming off of VBS, and a lot of volunteers are needed for VBS, right? And so... Just the timing of the lock-in to fall into VBS may have kind of drained the volunteer base a bit, you know. So just maybe, you know.
That's a good point.
You know, maybe next year.
Yeah.
Kind of separate them a little bit.
Yeah.
All right, well, thanks for the extra input. If you'll just, you know, encourage him and congratulate him on a good event, but then flesh that out with him.
Just add another youth minister or two.
Yeah, like, we used to like just have just, other youth ministers.
You had a couple other churches that would fix that right away.
Yeah, because if you had 40 people, it'd be much funner to begin with.
So, and a lot of the groups are even smaller, but if you can persuaded two churches that just had, you know, three or four kids, but and their youth minister.
And we've got the facilities here where they would probably love to come here.
One would think, a little planning on that one.
It's almost a rule, you got to do at least one lock-in. Yeah. Whether you want to or not. That's why I retired. I didn't want to do my life.
That's why I didn't go back into youth ministry. There's no way I can handle that.
That and Six Flags.
All right. Children's minister search update. Okay. Steve.
Well, Cherie withdrew her candidacy. There was a couple of, feel free to jump in, Ross. There was a couple of facilitating factors that probably impacted that. I think one of the things is that her background was a little bit different than Church of Christ, and so we had a longer process of getting to know her, right? Just kind of understanding kind of what she would be bringing to the table in terms of our kids, because our kids are the most vulnerable and fertile group in our congregation, so we want to make sure that we are comfortable with the person that we're bringing in. So that process was drawn up a little bit. And she, you know, I think at the end of the day, we didn't know that there was another group interviewing her. That's something that's on us. We didn't ask that question. She didn't volunteer that information. When we were working with Jeremiah, we knew that because, you know, he volunteered the information. And not that that made a big difference in our timing. We tried to accelerate a few things with him, but it didn't work out. But anyway, so she accepted a part-time position.
I think that might be key.
Yeah.
I think that appealed to her.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that was part of it. She accepted a part-time position, and that makes sense for her in a lot of ways. I think she really liked what she saw here, and we liked what we saw in her too. We got to the point to where, you know, before we wanted to bring her in, and we wanted to make sure that would be a candidate that we could make a recommendation to hire, right, and that people on the committee felt comfortable with her as their children's minister for the duration, right? And so it took us a while to get to that point, and once they were able to answer to that question, yes, then we were ready to bring her in for to meet the parents, the other parents. And so once we got to that point, we had some very probing questions that, I don't know if you guys got a chance to watch the video, that Jason did a wonderful job of asking some of those questions. And I think some of those questions caused her to maybe think that maybe we won't find meetings of the minds. She said something to that effect.
That maybe we won't we'll
find meeting of the minds.
Let's talk about that specifically. In her first interview, we asked about her previous marriage, and she mentioned their husband was dead.
He did.
She did not mention that they were divorced before they were dead.
She did not.
And it wasn't until she came for the in-person meeting that she'd mentioned it again, and again didn't mention. We didn't ask at that point, but then when we were researching on Facebook, you found some clues to the fact that she had been divorced.
Yes.
And so I thought tactfully we had Jason ask her, so it was not with a big group.
Yes.
And it was a very difficult story for her to share.
It was a beautiful story.
She was very emotional because if you guys didn't see it, her son had cancer, and her husband left her 6 months later. Son had cancer. He just was not present for any of it. So she was doing it all on her own. Mm-hmm. So it was a tough time for her. And like we probably, like I didn't want to act like I was passing judgment on her, but like to me, like her story sounded like, well, I'm fine with that, you know? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like, I did not express that in the meeting, and maybe that would have been helpful too. Mm-hmm. But also, I feel like if she was seriously wanting to work here, she would have told us about the other job.
I agree with that.
And shared the timeline.
I agree with that.
So to me, I think, I don't know if because we're full-time and we wanted her to be in the office some, and that, and this other job was part-time, I feel like maybe that she was more interested in that job in the first place. That's why she didn't share that with us. And the reason until for that,
she's homeschooling one of her children. She's homeschooling an 11-year-old. And so, you know, that and she needed some flexibility with the homeschool in terms of her requirements to be in the office. And so the part-time job will accommodate some of that. So that's kind of that. There was a little bit of collateral damage to the group from the process. Olivia stepping away, and she and I haven't had a chance to really connect. She texted me a few minutes ago, and we haven't had a chance to have a conversation. But Olivia and Jason reached out to Sheree to ask her if she would be available to come in and work with some of the parents and the kids. And that's when she, you know, told them that she had found another job. So Liv was part of that conversation. And so and she also saw some of the other tough questions that we were asking. And one of the things she said is that if people knew my background, I may not have an opportunity to work with some of these children. And so she was, she responded in a way that was unexpected to some of the questions we were asking. Sheree, you know, some of the more probing questions. And so, and I think, Jeff, I think you know her background. I know her background. And
it
has
she shared it with the teens at camp.
Yes, she did.
Part of her story.
She did. She did. So I think we're going to talk tomorrow somewhere between 9 and noon to really kind of flesh on that out. And then she also said that she's a graduate student. She has the kids. And so there was a number of things that she kind of articulated.
About, not Sheree, but we're
Olivia.
Talking
about Olivia. Olivia, I'm sorry, yeah, Olivia. Yeah, okay. Olivia, the reason why she wants to step away. But the thing that's most concerning to me is her kind of interpretation of, you know, how we may have, you know, been a little bit too hard on Sheree in terms of some of the questions that we're asking her. So
it definitely was hard.
It was hard. But I think it needed
but
to
I
be.
Think it, but I don't know that we could have bypassed it.
Because reason they were a little bit harder because she wasn't really forthright on a couple of things. Right, and right. So we had to go a little bit deeper.
I'm not saying it was anything we did. And it was exactly, I think we did exactly what we needed to do. And I'm telling you, Jason was brilliant.
He was great. Mm.
His
great
capacity
job.
And very his yeah. winsomeness.
Yeah.
How winsome, just in terms of his wisdom and his discretion and his body language. He just did an amazing job.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Which leads me to that point, is I think at some point we're going to talk about a reason why he shouldn't be sitting in here. You know, I don't, can't, you know.
Are any of his kids Christians yet? They're not old enough, are they? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he's also divorced, so that's going to be the other question mark.
Yeah, but the circumstances around that.
But I'm just saying,
I know that
outside of this room, there's because I accept him as if he could sit in that seat there.
I know that,
but that's the question mark that for everybody else in our congregation, as soon as they hear that,
yes,
they will make the judgment and say, "We've now made the mistake of inviting him in."
Yeah,
so then we have to do some teaching.
Correct.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. But anyway, I mean, he's definitely qualified. He has a character. He has a spiritual grounding. He has a love for the lost.
Yeah, we have about five other areas that would fall.
Yeah. I mean, so working well. With him during this process is, you know, I always admire him, but working with him, I have even more admiration for him now. So, mm-hmm. Anyway, so any questions on Sheree? Any questions on that? You guys have any questions on that?
Any more lines in the room?
We got one today.
Yeah, we did. We got a resume today.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We'll be looking into it.
Yeah.
Okay. But, and I have questions for Steve about that, but let's not.
Okay.
We'll talk about that.
Okay.
So one resume, you'll follow up on that, obviously. But
yeah.
Is there anything else you guys are thinking about that will help bring in more candidates or that we need to consider to
I think one of the key is working our network.
Okay.
I mean, yeah. I think getting people to work their net, they underestimate what they can do in terms of people. Like, you know, if you're a former Kyrie, there's so many, you know, where you went to school, there's so many things that I think people aren't thinking about. I think helping people think through how their network can benefit us is kind of where we're going to go as well.
And so Indeed has been the source of all the candidates?
There was another, this last candidate came from another source. I think church something, I can't.
Like, but another church, like, it's an actual.
Yes, it's another.
The non-denominational.
Right. So that's where this most recent candidate came from. And so we're going to have to really engage Seiberg now. I mean, we thought that we can set that aside because Sheree was looking somewhat promising, but I think.
And we need to look at Lipscomb and Harding also. They're a closer network geographically.
Yeah.
So
we actually were looking there too.
Well, Steve, two meetings ago, you guys discussed possibly pivoting and changing that role. And I don't know if this is like, you got an opportunity now to rethink what it is you might be looking for. And if, you know, I think before you engage in a cyber, you think through what it is you want.
That's part of the pivot. Part of the pivot strategy is talking to them about the role. Helps to clarify a little bit.
Great.
The family ministry and that kind of
thing.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks for your work on that.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
That's these guys.
Yeah.
Brad asked for an item to be put on the agenda. They forwarded me an article from CNN about having conversations. What do you do when your child comes out as transsexual? Mm. And I did print a couple copies, Steve, but I wasn't sure, or Brad, I'm sorry, wasn't sure if...
Actually looked on my phone today, and it's gone.
Oh, really? I was able to read it this afternoon.
Really?
Huh. Well, we've got printed evidence trying to leave that CNN.
Anyway, this could just be a placeholder, but I wasn't sure exactly. You thought it was put on the agenda, so here we are. And
yeah, I'll make this short. I don't think we have to delve into it tonight, but I am deeply concerned because, well, I've got two granddaughters at Kirkwood Middle School whom, you know, this stuff kind of hit, and I was starting to talk to my daughter about it, and it's like some people don't think it's a big deal, but the Kirkwood School District decided to do a 1,700 questionnaires that were sent out to middle schoolers without the parents knowing it, asking about what their sexual preferences are.
What?
And, you know, how this got printed in the yearbook. And so one of the Catholic organizations...
What got printed?
Hooking Up was the thing about that. But talking about how they're having sexual relationships in the school, you know, with their schoolmates. And, you know, the questions were being asked of the school district, who is supposed to be in charge of this?
Yeah.
And they pointed to some part-time secretary in the office. I mean, talk about throwing somebody under the bus. So the the district has been sued now. There's a Catholic organization that is very into this stuff, you know, and I understand they're going to go try it. And but to me, when I read, you know, when I turn on my computer at work and Microsoft saying it's Pride Month, you know, it's all being crammed down our throats and from every angle. And I just see it where, to me, it's spiritual warfare. And I feel like, you know, if we just do nothing, I'm deeply concerned about what's going to happen in the future. So I would like to see us, you know, develop maybe some, I don't know, way. I think what also struck me was when Ethan was asked the question by one of our people here about, you know, what's your position on, you know, LGBTQ, whatever. And I think he caught him flat-footed, too. That,
he
was, you know,
he trying to dodge it a little bit.
Yeah, you know. But, you know, I don't think we can ignore this. It's in society, and it's coming at us at a rapid rate where kids are being groomed at a very early age. And, quite frankly, some of the stuff that I've read about Washington University was involved in, you know, providing... they were actually doing physical, things where, you know, the hormone therapies that.
Yeah.
And the parents didn't know about it. And, you know, the school is actually bragging, saying, if you want to come to school here, we'll protect you, quote unquote. And
they got sued, didn't they, for that?
I think there's stuff behind the scenes, but also I'm reading stuff about, you know, quite frankly, there are people still out there doing it, and they're saying, you know, this is their role in life, and, you know,
it's definitely spiritual warfare for them.
Yeah.
Like, they're fighting for their side like it is.
Yeah. So I see it everywhere, and it just seems like, you know, if people come here and ask, well, what's your position, I think it would probably be good for us to have something to say what we believe, that, you know.
I looked at rooftops of churches' beliefs, and they had a thing on gender and sexuality. It was pretty good. I'd encourage you guys to go. I'll try to print one out and bring it next time. It was pretty good. It was welcoming them, but it made the statement that we believe that, you know, that marriage, with the homosexual part, you know, biblical marriage between a man and a woman.
And we've stated that.
We did, but I think that is gone from the website. And I think it was on, I think we revamped the website, and I didn't see it.
It's, well, really, I don't see it there.
When I looked, and I'm just making that statement, we need to figure out, I don't know what happened to it, but.
It used to be that annually Elizabeth would send that out with the budget.
Yeah.
And you had to.
Yeah, she's still doing that.
For anybody that is involved in a ministry, hey, you have to.
Yeah, we didn't really send one out this year. So it's still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was on the website before
that. It was on the website.
And when it got revamped, it did not get included.
Right. And I think, you know, before we do that, I think I'd like to hear from Dave. And again, you know, he's been, not that he's got to make the statement, but he's done a lot of research and discussion and thinking on that. So, you know, I think maybe you, if you get some time, you can kind of present your thoughts and we can decide how to move from there.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, I'm wondering if things come together with Ethan, let's just say he starts in January, is this a topic that we need to address before he gets here? Because if we address it within his first year here, some people might assume the worst.
Right.
That, oh, he's a catalyst behind something, good or bad, you know. And I don't want to risk that, but then is this good timing? So I'm praying about that, mulling that over. So
we can preach about it between September and December. Yeah. All 4 months, every week.
Yeah.
Jerry Jones's book is at the publisher right now.
Is it there?
Yeah,
I was wondering.
Well, he's
forward by Rubuschelli. So on this topic, I mean,
But he texted me this week, told us good luck and looking for somebody, and he'd be willing to preach for us.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
Wow. Okay. So, yeah, that will stay in front of us here. Okay. The Ethan Laster discussion, I kind of broke this into pieces. I think I'd usher us into some bites here as we talk about it. And I wanted to start with the input from our members. He's had his second interview, and that was a couple Sundays ago. And so have you guys gotten much input from folks? And what is that you're hearing?
I can truthfully say everybody I spoke with was positive. I didn't get one person that was negative, you know, like, no, we don't want this person. And that ranges from people who are really old, older than I am, and a lot of the younger people, I think, seem to, you know, embrace him. So
I had the same experience, nothing negative. Just the only negative was Larry Franke 4 or 6 weeks ago after the first interview and first time he preached. Then I responded to him and said, well, we're looking for somebody younger to help us to grow that part of the church. And he was like, oh, okay, I understand. But everyone else I've talked to that have sent me emails, everybody's been positive.
Good. Yeah, I sent you my summary. I purposely followed up with some people, and yeah, the feedback was all positive. I think, you know, Ron and JT said he waved his hands too much, and you know, the first time Ron was upset because he didn't have the slides up there, and it's like, well, it's, you know, that's but yeah, so I think everybody, not just happy with him, but I think they were very happy with him, that they really think that you know, his age, his demographic, his wife, you know, they just really see a lot of positives in him.
I had a couple of folks after the first sermon mention that they were hoping we'd find somebody with a little more experience, and both of those folks had positive feedback after the second sermon. Like, they, the more they thought about it, you know, there wasn't a big deal breaker, and kind of won them over or whatever. And then everything's been positive that I've heard as well. So anybody else have any different,
nothing different
experience? So,
I have to be the naysayer. Wow. So I meet all the bad people, I guess. So I've still, the negatives I've seen or heard has still been the age. So that's still one of the qualms that I had after the second. That he's still young. So that
is this from eight person or
at least one or two? Okay. But I'm trying to remember.
Yeah,
it's been now 3 weeks or whatever, yeah. And I had VBS at the same time. So yeah. It's how many people I've talked to, and but the, most of it has been positive. So the sermon by overarching was so much more positive after the second time than the first time, and it was all the slides. So I can tell you that if he would have done the same sermon. Is the first time with this slides. Time with slides, they would have never noticed,
it's
and they would have liked
the
it.
The slides were just verses; like there was almost nothing to them.
But it's exactly it true. Yeah. So, yeah. So that was the thing. The other is on the homosexual issue. I did hear a comment that they were not super pleased with that, with his comment about that.
They wanted to hear.
They wanted him. And so it was somebody that actually asked him that personally,
right.
And did not get the response that he wanted. But if he asked Jeff the same answer or the same question, he wouldn't get the same answer he wanted either. So it's that situation that there are going to be people that aren't going to be as pleased, but they're not pleased right now. So it's not really a win-win option for that.
And we're not going to get the full package we were looking for.
Definitely. Yep.
But I think we all hope and are confident that he's going to develop into that.
And that's what I told him. So I'm like, this is the option we have, and it's a really good option. Mm-hmm. And we didn't have, I mean, we had four possibilities, and none of them would have been better than him in that situation. So all of them were younger, except for one, and that one... we didn't feel that we should bring in even at all. So
here's my thought. You know, we had Max Locato go through this place.
Yes.
Maybe he could grow into somebody like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think he's got the potential.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
All right. So lots of positive input from the members. What about Ethan's meeting with Don and Jeff? You guys met with him. And so where does it feel like Ethan is at and things you've learned from that meeting?
Well, again, the purpose was just, in I think how we approached it, we just told him that we had gotten positive feedback, that we were very excited about the possibility of he and Sarah continuing down this road, and hopefully, you know, he would be, you know, interested in, but we wanted to give him one chance to give us any kind of thoughts that he still concerns or questions or clarifications or, you know, unmet expectations or what. Just this was his chance to speak.
Good, yeah.
And he did, I think. I won't remember all the details, but I think there was... still just in his mind some hesitancy about his, you know, because of his inexperience, and just because of his young age, I think it was becoming a little more realization that this is a bigger place than what he really thought. There's a lot more congregation than he maybe thought initially. Maybe a little still concerned about his ability to step into a managerial role in the office. I think, and he was pretty clear. I told him, that we were, working towards a memorandum of understanding that would try to document kind of where we were and that he could look at. And he said, I don't want you to think I'm ready to make a decision today or, sign today or anything like that. And I said, well, no, we really want you to think this through. And, but I think, he had some questions. Help me with the questions, Jeff. He specifically asked about...
He indicated he had a bit of a, what would be my relationship to the ministry leaders?
Right.
I think that was one, because I think that meeting was even a little more than wasn't quite what he expected, even though I thought we set up what was expected. He was being interviewed more than he realized, and it wasn't just a reception, and he's seeing all these people with all these ministries, and maybe that was a little intimidating, I guess, is the way I was reading into that, and what would be my role. That was one. One was, he didn't really state it as a question, he more made a statement that I feel like I need to spend some time with Elizabeth. Hmm. And so that was a little weird, and we didn't really necessarily say, okay, let's do that, but I think he was... Again, if I understood what was behind that, it was more related to what does this office, how do I come in? And he just met with Nathan the day before. And so okay, I'm Nathan will report to me, or presuming Nathan's making that assumption. I think that was part of their discussion. And that was a little, maybe just felt a little uneasy about that. And not knowing what that looks like, he made some very other pretty strong statements. I don't see myself as, I don't at the end of the day want to exchange, this is the way I heard it, Don, you correct me, my time with administrative stuff when I could be home with my daughter. And I'm like, that didn't even quite sit right with me, to be honest, I have to say, completely. But I understood what he was trying to get at. He didn't want to be a paper pusher, and he was a little bit afraid that too much of the office, with an office, a church this size, might turn into that.
And his example there was, if there's a member in the hospital dealing with serious illness,
yes,
or maybe death, I will be there whenever it
right,
is.
Right, right.
But if it's an administrative thing.
Yeah. Then that would be, it was harder for him to see himself being there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know, Nathan. I don't know, Ethan, if you understand how life works yet. I'm sorry. Yeah. But
how many hours
what's that?
How many hours a week does he think we're expecting from him if we'd not set expectations?
Well,
for that?
I don't know. I mean, what would we tell him?
He's not going to be the first dad who's had to have work a full time
job. Well, exactly. Yeah. So this is we didn't go into that because we were super affirming of him.
Sure, good.
We're realizing, okay.
Want that,
I stepped into it a little bit with him when I tried to affirm him about, because he asked then, that was his question, why me? It was an interesting question. I mean, I don't know if that's exactly how he put it.
Yeah.
But, and so we talked about his preaching. We talked about his academic background. We talked about his, work at ACU, just all that he had done there. The fact that he was in St. Louis, had no interest in necessarily moving some other part of the country, that he had some history in ministry, and that we'd interviewed other candidates. We whittled them down. He clearly was, at the top of the... Well, somewhere in there, I said something about the demographic, and he didn't like that. He didn't want to see himself as a demographic hero. In other words, what you just said a little bit ago, and I'm not just trying to point out, you know, but about you said that we could bring in somebody younger to help kind of patch a demographic problem. Mm-hmm. He doesn't see himself that way, and so that's pretty.
He specifically said, "I'm not going to fix."
Yeah,
I'm not going to be able to fix your demographic problem.
Yeah, you know? And then he said even though the one at Lafayette's a little tenuous and it's changing and they're having kids now and you know, I mean, yeah. In other words, and plus I think he also is saying to us in another way, I'm an old soul. I'm 32, but that's not really how I live my life. I live it like I'm. Mm-hmm. A 50 or 60 year old. I mean, I think he didn't say, definitely. He didn't use those words.
Well, and that's what he's writing on. That's definitely,
yeah.
He's hanging out with those old people
are
writing things out in the desert. So, I mean, that's exactly what he's doing. Right, so he's living that in his mind.
He is living that.
And he's more of a preacher to a point, yes. Almost. He's thinking it was a preacher's role,
yes.
Not a lead minister's role.
To a certain degree.
So if you think about that, yeah, well, and that's exactly what I'm hearing.
That's what I think he's trying to, that's what he's trying to decode and learn. But he had the job description from day one, and we went through it in detail with Steve and I in terms of each of the sections of ministry leaders and
reality.
The administrative side. You know what I'm saying? Now, whether he gets it all, but I think in your sort of in one's visionary perception of a role, you see yourself as sort of hiding away, working on Sunday's message,
yes.
in prayer, cloistered off, and then you're going to kind of emerge on Sunday morning to present this. Well, that is a good model to try to live by as much as possible, but there are all these other things, and so those are just not as interesting to.
Well, and maybe there's another way to interpret it, and maybe it is, he's saying, you know, don't put that pressure on me. You know, don't think that I'm going to be the silver bullet to all of a sudden next week they're going to be flooded with 20-year-olds.
I think that's
and
right.
So maybe he's just saying, listen, don't expect that because I can't deliver
that's
that.
Exactly.
I think he is saying that. But I think that is also helpful to articulate for us and for the congregation, because the very thing that we all feel and need, he's saying, I don't bring that, or I don't know, I'm not going to promise it. Let's put it that way. Anyway, so I think that's the gist of it. I walked away. I was trying to put a ratio on it, like live my life in probabilities, but I thought, okay, 2/3 of a chance. I'd say 60% chance we get him. And there's still, I'd say, a good third to more than that. I don't know what else he would do right now. Mm-hmm. But then I thought, well, gosh, if that's the way I'm thinking, is that the way we want to start?
But he doesn't really have to find another job right now.
He doesn't. He's
so he still has at least another year.
He didn't when he started the interview process.
Yes.
It was not his sixth year at SLU was not committed to. And now it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Well, and maybe communicating to him that this is not all on him. This is we're as a team.
Oh yeah, we tried.
Okay,
we tried every a lot of different ways on that. We did try a lot of it, but it was a little hard for me knowing what I feel and experience in the role, but to not interpret what he was saying a little bit, like I don't want to mislead you, but I also don't. I'm not asking you to do what I do. You know what I mean? So it was a little, and so that was just a tad unsettling.
And
let's put it that way.
And he's got a lot to grow into in this position. I mean, as Steve said, he's going to mature in a lot of ways, and we have to trust that we've kind of talked with him enough to know that all the seeds are there.
Yeah.
You know, if we can just, you know, help him to
that's
grow
right.
and mature.
That's right.
And probably particularly in the administrative side, you know, it's just going to be.
Well, and maybe thinking, we talked about getting an extra minister for the children side. I mean, what if we were to think about an executive minister that would take care of the administrative roles, maybe even just part-time, as he's working into that. Mm-hmm. So that they're there in place, and they're put, and he's sort of taking those roles as he develops into that. and maybe being in training almost like with that executive minister, that when they're making decisions and doing Nathan's review, the two of them are sitting there together as he's learning, this is how administration works. And he's like, oh, yeah, I can do that.
Yeah, right.
But
but
you'd have to have that.
I think he's just, I don't want to say scared, but he's just.
Oh, definitely. Yep.
Just unsure
of
what that's going to entail, you know, not having done that before. I went into the meeting very up pro Ethan, came away from the meeting very up pro Ethan. Just, but I did hear this echo or this sense that I think he's struggling as to. This is really the right fit for him too.
Well, I think that's if it wasn't there, then we should be scared too.
Yeah,
if you're not scared, you're not thinking of this properly.
In every direction, we have to entrust it all to God, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
So that's I mean, just live it out in faith. So I have no second. I don't mean to imply that I would second guess. I would, but it wasn't there. There wasn't. He is not the, as he said, I lead from the middle of the pack. That is giving him the bit of the benefit of doubt. Mm-hmm. He really is, and Eric said this. I think this piece did fall into place for me after Eric had met with him and made sense. He said he's like his son Ian, who is an Enneagram 5, which is the same as my son, which means they have to have everything, and maybe some of the group, the people in this room, but that particular trait likes to see everything lined out. Pros and cons, have all not one to just jump in there and figure it out. And so, since there are so many unknowns, that creates that sense of uneasiness there's no way that there's all these things that are, he doesn't even know on the pro side, and there are all these things on the negative side, con side, that he can't yet define. And so it's hard for him to operate fully in that
And I would say, too, I think the meeting with Eric maybe kind of caught him off guard.
Maybe it did. Yeah, he did say that. He did say that. It caught him off guard a little bit. It wasn't negative.
Yeah, I didn't know that happened. What was the meeting with Eric?
Eric just asked him for coffee. Just went out and met with him after the Saturday night thing here.
So he wanted to know, was Eric a sort of... pseudo leader?
Yeah, what was Eric's role?
How did you answer that?
I played the fifth.
I think we said that Eric has been here a long time. Eric has a lot of influence in this congregation with a lot of people.
That's fair.
Eric has a significant role with Christian Family Services. That whole ministry grew out of this congregation. And so, and we also are aware that Eric is a strong presence and a strong personality that makes, you know, that thinks through things really fast and, you know, kind of the opposite of Ethan in a lot of ways. And so we kind of tempered it with that realization that's who he is.
Based on this, I'm thinking maybe we put too much out there. That's one reason I didn't like that idea, lead minister, just leave it minister. I would try to say, you know, what we want you to do is to come in, preach, teach, and help the church. And leave all the other stuff, you know, give him a year to, you know, just observe and lead from the middle if that's what he wants to do. But I think we can pick that up here amongst ourselves. And if he thinks that we have his back, I think we can make this work. But if he's scared to death and we're not looking like we're here to help, I think he may punt.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think the other way to approach that, and it's what we tried to tell him at breakfast, was, yeah, there are a lot of questions. And you're going to have a lot of questions as you step into this role. But more than anything else, we want you to know that we are a team, and that we, if you hit a question or you don't know that you can do this particularly, come talk to us. I said, we want it to be an open, transparent team, you know. And so I'd rather him know that here's the job, and, you know, here's what Jeff's sort of been doing and all that, and there are, these are the things that are happening now, and you know, as you step into it, if you hit something that doesn't make sense or you're going to need some help with or whatever, we want you to know you can come talk to one of us, you know. And
I would say maybe with the offer, that part needs to be developed, crafted really well, where we say that in a very very intentional way. I mean, it'd be easy to just jump down to the bottom line, where look at the, you know, what are the benefits and the salary and all that, but somehow to say that in that part of the offer about supporting him, and above all, we want you to preach and teach and simply be here to help the church. And you know, we want you to understand the full scope of what, but you're going to be growing into this, and we're here for you, and you got to bring your questions to us. Kind of outlining 3 or 4 or 5 of those bullets right in that opening paragraph,
and maybe specifying a couple of us specifically to say, you know, come talk to us.
And a lot of us have been in ministry before, so making that really clear that it's not that we're just business leaders that are the church, but a lot of us have been in ministry or been elders for years, and so it's one of those things that I think that he just needs to know that it's a growth opportunity, not necessarily you have to be this day one. And he could change lots of the things that may not end up being that way that Jeff does, like the ministry leaders. He may not even have to be in control of any of them. He may be able to push that off to somebody else in order to.
Yeah, I mean, for instance, I know one of the areas he did ask too was about events, and I don't know if he used the word big events or we talked about, you know, event planning, and he just didn't see himself as like. I would say not that he isn't capable of doing it; he's just not interested in it. Well, that's been a huge part of our history, but I don't know if it's been a really fruitful part. So there's no question that we can re-examine whether we need to do a block party. And whether we need to do, you know, church at the park.
We get 300 people would chase eggs up at the Tilly's Park, but what does it do?
Yeah, right, exactly. So we can review all of those things, I think. But at the same time, I think there will be some. I think we want a minister that is ministering and not simply preparing messages in their office.
Yeah. Sure.
Okay, and so finding that balance that fits for him has to happen, maybe not on day one, and maybe not even by month 2 or 3 or whatever, but at some point you get some legs under you on some of that.
In that generation, you're talking about the reference to having a child.
Yeah.
A lot of ministers of that generation have not figured out how to have a kid and work too. It's kind of weird.
I mean, to
Ross's point, a lot of guys have to figure that out.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah.
In other jobs. You know?
Yeah. But I did feel a little bit of that. Like, I thought to myself a few times, did you, Don? Because you said this at BJC when you were leaving, like, I'm not sure I know how to work with this next generation, you know. And there was some of that, like, how much of this is Ethan and how much of this is just a generational thing that is just viewing the world differently. And I just was quiet because I really didn't know how to take it. In the Lafayette
system, the ministers work from home most of the time. It's kind of weird.
And his life has been more the academic calendar.
Yes. Yeah.
So, you know, in terms of a full-time job, what that looked like and what was required there. He's had a little bit of that, but most of his adult life has not been that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so as most of his adult life, because a lot of them have and think like, okay, I got to be home with my child, you know, if I have this child. And so that wasn't a problem based on his academic schedule. Mm-hmm. He didn't always work around it. So I think that's another adjustment that he's probably struggling with in terms of what does that look like. My academic versus my professional schedule, those two things are different. And he's just not used to that, have not had that experience doing that.
And if he says no,
all
the prayer we've done, he wasn't our guy.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you know, we've talked a lot about him, but I think we need to actually go around the room and give yays or nays and you know, as far as making a decision, you know, I think we need to formalize it, so.
Well, let's speed up the process. All those in favor, raise your hand.
Okay, unanimous. Okay.
Good job.
Write it down quick.
I got to speed these meetings.
You're very good, yeah.
I do have a question, though. Did we send anything down to Carson yet? We were going to get
his
feedback.
Yes, we did. Yeah. That's next on the agenda is status of the memo of understanding. And so, I mean, if you didn't print one, I sent that out by email earlier today. Grab one.
I think relocation fee was a little misinterpreted in here, but we can talk about the relocation expense.
We'll go through lots of details here.
Oh, we did get one. I'm sorry. Here, I'll take one of those back.
So this is the current status of it. And then I also got some feedback from Carson that I'll flesh out. But I wanted to see, take a minute, take a look at this if you haven't yet. It's changed a little bit from the last one we had at our previous meeting, but not dramatically. And we'll go through a few points and get input from everybody, and then we'll talk about Carson's input as well. All right, let's make our way through, and anything that jumps out at you, didn't change the first part any, and on this draft, I didn't change any of the lead minister duties, 1, 2, 3, and 4. I did think that in 1B, deliver Bible messages each Sunday, I wondered if it would be helpful or premature to say, like, that means 40 a year, or, you know, what does that mean literally every one? What's our expectation? That might be good for him to realize, because we don't want it to all be on him the whole time, but then do we know?
Is this asking him to find the guest speakers? Is that what that's saying when it says arranging?
Which line is that?
The 1B, arranging occasional guest speakers.
Yes.
Okay.
I like saying 40 a year, or approximately 40 a year, which is one time per month, not to preach. Right. I think it keeps the preacher fresher. It's good for the congregation. It's a good win-win. So I don't know if you'd want to say 12 times per year, 12 or 40. 40 times preaching or 12 times not preaching, something in there, but.
So, would you think that seems compared, looking at you, over the past, 20 years that we've been here, or a long time? So, I don't think that's how, I think you've preached probably 46 of the times a year, as opposed to
40 and 45.
You think it's that few?
I think there's been. Yeah,
I thought there were gaps where there was only like one Sunday a year that you didn't preach.
You just got tired of me.
Yes, but you were there every week. I came back and you came back.
You were sleeping.
I was sleeping.
Preaching.
When you saw that slide, didn't move to the next one. I just think that, so.
I don't think it's, I don't.
40
I don't
sounds know that. Like once a month taking a break, it seems like a lot to me, but maybe not. Maybe it's.
Like if you do a series and you're planning those guest speakers to fit that series, you know, like Caitlin would be an exception to that. But I don't think it's that far off. Okay. I don't know that it was quite 40, but it was, I'd say, 9 or 10.
Yeah, so I could see that, but like saying 42 to 45 or something like that.
Maybe. Why do you bring that up? What's your point?
It just seems like a lot for him to be off. Like you start a job and you're like, hey, you don't have to be here once a month.
Yeah.
And it just seems like that's a lot of almost vacation time. That, so because you, especially going back to your guys' conversation of him thinking of himself as a preacher.
Yeah.
If he's a preacher and we tell him, hey, you don't have to preach every Sunday, once a month you can skip, it's going to be like, yes, I just won the best job I've ever seen before. Because, but I'm not expecting him to preach more necessarily, but by putting it down on a piece of paper, it makes it a rule, and then it could be taken advantage of.
I see that point, let me give you a counter. Like, okay, so we do back to school Sunday. I don't preach.
Yeah.
Okay. But I plan the worship.
Yes, and you're here.
Okay, and then we have graduation Sunday.
Yeah, it doesn't mean there's an absence.
Yes.
Yeah, so there's a difference between, and so only half of those Sundays when I don't preach, we have a congregational praise service. We did that in January.
Yeah.
Okay, I was here for that. Okay, it wasn't. So I don't.
Yeah. So that's where, by putting it down in words, it makes it sound a lot different than reality.
So another like, preach at least 40 and participate in 45 or something like that.
Well, there's the other thought. So when Seibert was here for the weekend, they say we do a great job of grinding our ministers into dust. And when I met with Eric McPherson, he brought the same thing up, and he said, how are we going to put guardrails on Ethan, right? How are you going to prevent him from being ground into dust? And, you know, it's like, well, you know, maybe this is a good guardrail. You know, you just, you know, he's going to, everything's going to be new the first couple of years. And if we're worried about overloading him, well, maybe we ought to just, you know, give him some guardrails and back off on some of that. And,
I don't know if it can come from putting numbers in. It would come from the relationship with him. How you doing? And I was thinking maybe we put the numbers in until he finishes his dissertation to give him maybe one break a month from preaching so he can focus that week on his dissertation. Just a thought. I don't know. But it's like, you know, we're hiring him to preach. Just to do 3 out of 4 just doesn't seem 3.5 out of 4.
Yeah, and I don't know what the right number is, but how do we keep from grinding him into dust?
Right, mm-hmm.
And I think it's a lot of those extra tasks, especially from their conversation.
Right. Like Ethan's a cognitive guy. He probably loves the preaching part, the preparing. Right. And so that may not be as much of an issue for him. We don't know.
Versus the administrator.
He doesn't know.
So then there's the other is, and Brad has brought this up, is it healthy for the congregation to occasionally hear other voices? So there's that as well, and you know, that would force some of that as well. So
maybe in brackets or in parentheses, you just put approximately 40 a year.
Right.
And you don't put it like a specifically, you have to do 40, but just putting that approximately, like Jeff said, may be enough to say, okay, you preach 38, that's fine. We're not going to dock you, pay you. Sorry, you didn't preach these two times, that's $2,000.
Right.
But putting it there, and he may preach more than that, but like Jeff also said, these other occasions where he's here, but there's not actually preaching going on by him.
Yeah.
And, you know, it depends on how we look at how, I hate to be this curt, but how he earns his salary, right?
Yeah.
If he's busy 35 hours during the week doing other things, and that Sunday he doesn't preach, you know, he's really worked that week. I mean, you know, he's worked that week. And so, and the other thing he told us is that he said he's the type of guy that, you know, he's more of an introvert and he needs time to recharge, right? And so, you know, if we give him this kind of latitude where he can have some time to recharge, you know, that might help in terms of managing himself a little bit better as well. You know, but, you know, I think the preaching part of it, and then even when the Sundays that Jeff didn't preach, he was very participatory in the worship, right? He'd get up and lead prayer, he'd get up and welcome me. So there's a lot of things that he would do, you know, to facilitate the worship as well. So I don't see this, if he's not preaching, that means there's a void in what he's doing in terms of his duties and responsibilities.
I think we should be taking away some of these things from his plate so he doesn't feel overwhelmed. You know, providing supervisory ministry and administrative staff. I mean, yeah, there's got to be some of that there, but I really think for the first year that that should be something that the elders pick up here. Like asking him to go out and find people to fill in, you know, he doesn't need to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, we can handle that ourselves. So
what if we just met with him and say, what are some of these on here you don't feel comfortable with starting out and getting his input on it?
Well, that's probably better than just saying, here it is, take it or leave it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's a negotiation.
Maybe we change order too. Like, so if I'm reading this as a job person trying to get a job, I see number one on my list is I have to preach. Number two, I have to be the leader of the congregation, leading even the elders, because that's the last one, because that's the one I'm going to pick up on, because it's the last thing I read. And then number three, it's like being this administrator. And then at the end, four, be this pastoral care, spiritually guiding people, which in reality, that may be more important to throw up there as number two, because that may be something he may be able to do easier for people versus this leadership kind of picture that you're talking about.
Yeah.
And then the others could be maybe even putting in brackets after them. These are something we would like you to grow into. And so that growth thing, we just put it in brackets and say, this is not today. This is what Jeff is doing today.
Right.
This is something that we would like for this lead minister to grow into. Mm-hmm. And it makes it really wordy, but it may be better looking at it for him to see that.
I like that.
I like the idea of moving that up to number two. It's good content.
Yeah, because it's something that we would want him to do from the day one,
mm-hmm.
where the other two are more of things that to grow into.
Okay. I like that. This provide leadership.
Who's doing this?
I'm sorry?
Are you going to do it, Dave, or?
Do what?
Rearrange
these. Rearrange.
Redo this.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I just didn't.
I got this. I got all the drafts up to this,
okay.
So I'll tweak. Yeah.
Okay.
So part of Carson's input, I want to address in this provide leadership, where he encourages us, because he saw this, and if we could flesh out a little more about his relationship to the elders,
mm-hmm.
how some of that works, would be helpful. As, you know, specific as we can get. And so I was thinking about, as we look at this, you know, I really like A and the way this reads, and I thought we could just take F, meet regularly with church elders, and say elders will set meeting agendas and chair the meetings. Your input will be desired during decision-making. That's the kind of thing Carson wanted. How are the decisions going to be made? Is he on his own and we say, yeah, or do we make decisions and he's part of it? What does that look like? So,
and this might be
I thought about that language.
This might be the place to put in the thought about a team, you know, that we want him to feel comfortable in seeing himself as a member of the team, that if there are questions or...
The leadership team.
The leadership team.
Yeah.
And if there are questions that, you know, he comes across and that, you know, we want him to feel comfortable to come to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. And then in the next section, supervise ministry and administrative staff, this is another one where Carson encouraged us to What does that look like? What does it mean to supervise the staff? Do you, does he have higher fire decision authority? Mm-hmm. What does, you know, how much can we flesh that out? Mm-hmm. And this is the section that kind of does that. And that's just what we're talking about too. That might be where he feels weak, or can he jump into that role? And so I like the way this reads. I'm not recommending much tweaking here, but I did think we could insert, let's see, something that says personnel decisions, hire, fire, discipline, accolades are made in conjunction with the elders.
Mm-hmm. I like that. Mm-hmm.
The eldership team, maybe.
Or leadership team. Or, yeah.
Yeah, the leadership team, including mm-hmm. the elders or something like that.
We've always said that hiring and firing is reserved by the elders. I mean, that's...
Then can we go up just a minute to yep. number two, number F? And so we said meet regularly with church elders. I think if we can be a little bit more specific there, that would be helpful too, because I don't, in his mind, we can't nail all those times down even in meeting with church elders, but we can say biweekly elders meetings, and then any other specific times, and then other times as needed, you know. So I think that we can
put some quantities around that.
Yes,
you know, 2 per month, you're saying?
Yeah, 2 per month.
I would just say at least monthly, because we may not have 2 meetings a month. I would just say at least monthly with the elders.
Yeah, and then as needed.
Yeah.
Then as needed, okay.
That's good.
Yeah, because he shouldn't feel that if he's not here one of the Mondays that he's now on.
Yeah.
Well, we don't need to feel compelled to have 2 meetings a month just to have meetings either.
Now you get something. Now you listen.
And even just mention to him, you know, your wife's sick, you got a kid.
Yeah.
Don't come. It just he has that freedom.
Right, and just making it clear, like with Nathan, how Nathan comes in usually every other one because he's at church on the street. The other one, like tonight, because that's where he's at tonight. So it's.
I also thought we might switch this 3A. What's currently 3A, where it says annual job reviews. I thought we might say with an elder. Every employee has an elder attached to them, if you will. Mm-hmm. Nathan, Elizabeth, even Tom, if we want to think of it that way. Of course, Elizabeth, I guess, does that one. But and whatever children's minister would be hired. And so that would be supportive of those, part of that same thing where it's a conjunction with the elders, those things happening. So he's not on his own to do that.
You might put for the firing and hiring, Dave, you might just keep that with the elders with input from the supervising person. In other words, I'm a supervisor, but I'm not going to hire or fire anybody without the authorization of this group. The hiring letter goes out from the elders. You know, we've been down the road with the firing kind of thing before, and I brought input to that process to the elders. So just for clarity there.
So can I ask about 3D, oversee technology initiatives that support the staff mission? Does he need to be overseeing that? Is that something that we expect?
It's not really the right way to word it, to be honest, but what I was trying to get at was...
provide input?
There were projects that were kind of just sitting around that nobody's doing anything. There still is. Yes. That nobody's even kind of attending to. But so somebody has to kind of see that, and it didn't seem right exactly on an infrastructure side to strap Brett with that. And then there are other things that could help move us forward to begin to investigate that. So it kind of fell to me. It didn't mean I really did it or that I even understood it all, always. You know what I'm saying, Ross? But somebody has to kind of be attending to it from, so to speak, seemed to me, from the office perspective, from the staff perspective. Well, and that's what that was trying to
get to. Just knowing that the administrative part is what intimidates him the
most. I understand.
Anything that we can dial back.
You could dial that back, take that out. I don't think there's any major loss.
Let's say be involved with technology. Yeah.
Well, but then
That's another thing.
So, like, you know, okay, so they were going to redo the stage lighting and all that, you know. I kind of like originally scoped some of this out and had some ideas, sent it to Brett, but then I want to get out of it. So I don't, I was involved, but
I just take it out.
So there has to be a, so I'm trying to think of a good word to put in there, because in reality, as one of the ministers, so I, even like with Caitlin, with anything with tech, so me and Brian have been very much, and Ross too, been very much about pushing through Caitlin, but we also make sure Jeff knows too. And so that kind of participatory kind of feel, and I don't know if it's be involved or be...
Just let it happen.
Be there and don't...
If we can make this list shorter, I think it's safe to assume expect him to utilize technology. And he'll understand that, come being the age that he is.
Yes.
That
my understanding on this document is this is going to be revisited, you know, every couple years or so. Like, you're starting off, you know, in 2 years, this is going to change. And so, yeah, I think it's fine to strike things out, and we can add things back later.
Okay. I think it's a good one to strike.
All right. Compensation package. This is where we landed, pretty much the ballpark of where we landed from a previous discussion. I did check in with MOBAP and got some input that a beginning assistant professor, that's the lowest level, typically starts in the 50s. It's lower than I would have thought. And it can get really high if you reach that tenured status and different, you know, there's a lot of nuances there. But it's not like this robust competition. That we're in a generous spot compared to that option that somebody with his degree might have.
What did Carson say about it?
Carson had no words about the detail of the compensation package.
Oh, really?
Didn't strike him, didn't rave about it, didn't. Nothing.
Yeah, so, and from a Texas point of view, it would be different too. So I think that...
And the survey they sent us originally, this is in the ballpark.
Right.
It's maybe a tad lower than what
the
average was, but it's...
And then I did have a connection with Lafayette, one of the elders there. I was able to have a conversation with him, and they're also in the 50s with that range for a lead minister, but then if somebody's doing really well, they're trying to do some robust raises. But that wasn't where they were, their starting mindset. It was at the low, they were at the low end of this range I was talking to them about from the school district. So again, I think we're just another piece of input that was good to gather.
And I like the way you've listed out the dollars for the other pieces to come down to a total package cost, because in our case, that $1,200 a month for insurance, that is compensation. I mean, that's a nice benefit right there in and of itself.
I had a question, Jeff. How is that, I know insurance every year keeps going up. Have we been going up with this? Is that
We started, I think, at maybe 900, or did we start at 1,000? Way back.
So we were at 1,000 for a long time.
And then on my benefit, the guys raised it to 1,200 because we started going over it since we were a family. Okay. And then this past year, since we dropped Becky off.
Yeah.
Yay. My insurance dropped down. First time. Let the government take care of it.
Sarah has a job, and I'm sure she has insurance through her job.
Whether he uses this or hers, you know. It'll be interesting. He's got options.
So for a long time, that number will eclipse his, I don't know how long, because insurance is a crazy animal. But as young as he is, you would think
that it is age rated. And so you're right. And the size of their family and all that comes into play. Definitely.
You think he understands what a housing allowance is?
It's excellent to have that in there as a discussion point if he asks the question, because that is a robust tax benefit.
I would think he would know that, being in ministry. but he may not.
He's been in academia most of the time.
Well, he worked for a church in Texas.
He was a youth
3 years
minister for 3 years. Yeah. So anyway, I think we have a good package, and so as long as we're comfortable, that's still holding up.
Are we wanting to, this $500 or $5,000 moving expense, is that where we ended up?
That was something that was in the earlier draft and didn't want to make a move right away, and that three-year time frame seemed reasonable.
I think
it's money we would have spent to bring somebody in. He is local. We don't have to have it in there, but it was in that earlier draft, and so I did tweak it by making that three-year window to utilize it.
Right.
I think that
so
came
on
up
that, it came up, but
it.
You, it wasn't interpreted that way. I think Steve brought it up, and we thought 3 to 5 years. You work here for 3 to 5 years, or you pay it back. So not you don't move within 3 or 5 years, but you have to stay employed for 3 to 5 years is how I understood that to be structured. We'll give you the $5,000 or you pay it back. I thought that's what you were saying.
So does that mean it opens up the when he could take advantage of it? Or
no, it's like, we'll give you $5,000, but if you leave next year, you're going to give it back. That's what I thought we were going to say on that.
But like, let's say, that's not to say that if in 4 years he wants to move, we wouldn't help him move.
Those rules are changing right now. A lot of that compensation.
Yes, that's what it says right now, Ross. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that's what it says. I'm asking what he's saying.
Well, that's what I thought we were talking about. That's how I thought we were going to structure that compensation.
Yeah, I guess
in year four.
Yeah, so like, we're setting a window. He needs to move within a certain amount of time.
I wouldn't care about that. I would just strike that.
Yeah, my opinion, anytime we get him move closer, we should jump on it and help him.
So I would just strike that, and I would just say
5 years from now or 1 year from now.
Yeah. But if you leave, you got to pay it back, kind of a thing. So
then maybe we just put it very generic and say, if you decide to move closer to the church, the eldership will work to find funds to help you move or something like that. And I mean, if we want to put $5,000, if we want to put $5,000, we put $5,000. But
what does that mean? Moving expenses, like we'll pay for moving trucks, or we'll help them pay for the house, or what? Like
we gave him $5,000.
See, if that's the case, then we might just say.
I did not want to do that.
Oh, you don't want to do
that?
I
did not want to just give him a check, and he uses it or he doesn't, you know? It's all he knows himself.
No, if he moves, we give him a bonus of $5,000, not in exchange for moving expenses or whatever. It's obvious to everyone else.
Right, how close are we going to make him move?
It's taxable if you put it on the salary as a bonus. This way, reimbursement of expenses, tax-free.
Okay, I see. And moving expense can be, hey, the house costs more or something, and we would still count that.
No. Moving expense, the IRS definitions.
Oh, okay.
This is your rental truck. This is the crew you hired. This is the
boxes.
You had to move a vehicle across country. Yeah. Hotels while you wait to be able to move in for a week.
It's not. No way it's going to cost a $5,000 move, but okay, I get it.
Not for helping with a down payment on a new house.
No.
Okay. It's not $5,000 in his pocket.
I got it. I don't think that's necessary. $5,000 is a lot of money, and if he wants to be, and I don't want to nitpick that. Oh, they move 1 mile closer; they're still in the same.
Oh yeah, you don't have to set terms on it.
Hey, we're just if you move closer, this is it. But I also don't want it so loose and open ended that if it's 8 years from now he decides to move, why are we paying for that? In my opinion,
well, I agree.
You know,
That what I'm saying is those laws are changing right now where employers can no longer use the
housing
buyback. It's illegal.
This isn't
payment.
Illegal.
The what?
This isn't illegal. You can do it.
No, this part is, but what you were saying is.
Right. So no, either one is fine. Oh, the clawback?
Yeah, the clawback.
What is it called?
Clawback. So, like, if you offer something and then you give them $5,000,
and then you have to
try to get it back from them if they break that contract.
That's the part you're saying is no bueno anymore.
Yeah.
Okay.
Little by little. Yeah.
FTC rule that just kicked in, and I think it kicks in September, I believe.
Wow. Is it September?
I think if we limit it to actual moving expenses,
it's never going to meet $5,000 to matter.
And you don't need a clawback, then I don't think.
Yeah.
Because why would you move and then. I'm sure it happens.
If he does, but if he did do that, it's going to be costing him a lot too.
Yeah,
you move that fast.
I don't think that would be an intentional.
I've done it.
I don't have a problem with it being
up to $5,000 in expenses.
Yeah,
and, you know, a no clawback, you know, just this.
So do we still want to leave at any time reference on it, or just ignore it? Leave that part out.
You're saying within 3 years, is that what you're referring
to? Yeah, I'm saying, yeah, why have that? Well, yeah. And think about this. Okay, I'm 30 minutes from the church. If I'm much less likely to respond to needs in this neighborhood or at the church, I'm slower, I'm less likely to do it. But if I live 5 minutes away, it'd be so much easier. Yeah, you know, it'd be so much more convenient. And so, like, there's no point where that would not be an asset for a preacher to be closer. So even if he waits and he doesn't decide until 8 years, I would still say yes. I would want us to help him.
I would leave then only because I look at it as an incentive for them to do it sooner rather than later.
Because right now that's very economically unsound to do it.
Yeah.
So in reality.
Yeah. I mean,
so
if we said, just, you know, put it 5 years.
And that might not change in 3 years.
Yeah.
We would hope it would, but.
Yeah. Ross, we will get this in your contract.
Yeah.
it applies for elders, too.
Yeah.
It does.
I'm moving this week, by the way.
Yeah. They gave me $5,000.
So I really like my kids are in a school district where they don't have any problems like that right now. It's pretty nice. Yeah. That's what got us there in the first place.
Yeah, I thought we were incenting him to stay employed longer. So I thought we were saying, yeah, you stay employed 5 years and you get to keep this. But that's not what we're saying. We're just saying we'll help you move. Because that's what I thought you were bringing up the last time we were talking about this is, you know, right in there, hey, yeah, you stay around 5 years and we'll do it for you.
Since we won't be able to do a clawback, I don't see how we
but they do that so many places in business. Like, if we'll pay for your school, but you got to stay here for 5 years after your school. And it's like for doctors, we will waive your
I think
your
it's
fees.
Different for education cost. Because you're right. You can tie it to
Because I know at my work, they tie all kinds of stuff to you. You got to stay here 5 years if you're going to take this money. And it's, you know,
well, your vacation
and everything.
Well, the reality is the moving expense would be less than $5,000. How much is it worth dealing with a possible legal issue?
Right.
Yeah.
Unless you make over $191,000, then there's the ability to do that. But
that's not happening.
Yeah.
A lot of doctors who are, you know, in groups, you know, they're basically, they had non-competes that were, you know, signed. Mm-hmm. They're unenforceable starting in September.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we're just going to leave it as is, or we're going to take the years off? Do we have an opinion? I go. Let's leave it as is.
Yeah, I'm good with that. Okay. Yeah, because it's very specific. So it's not something he can just use it for anything he wants. It's very much that we'll reimburse the moving expense. So we will actually see the bill and we'll say, here's the money based upon what the bill says.
So you guys want to remove the 3-year restriction and anytime he can move closer, that's fine.
I'm okay with removing it, but if somebody thinks it really would be an incentive, I hate giving him an incentive in a time, like you said, this is just not the time to.
Right. Well, also, if we leave in a 3-year window, and then after the 3-year window, he decides he wants to move, we can offer him a movement cost either way. Well, you know, that's.
Yeah, it could be.
That's the reality.
And this is just the.
And it would just be kind of
the
like
memo. So, I mean, it's possible that we put that in the final thing that we know that economic. And maybe we just add it now.
Let's
economically, right now, it's not really a good time to do it. And just put that in there that. This could be extended if needed.
Yeah.
I wouldn't word that.
Yeah, less is more.
I just leave it. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they can just make the decision whether they feel like it's worth it or not.
I did clarify the vacation paragraph a little bit, that he's walking in with 3 years of experience full time, so it's only a couple of years before he gets a third week, is what I tried to spell out. That seems clear to you guys?
Awesome.
Okay. Let's see. And then I did add the bottom paragraph. We'll talk about the mentoring. Carson had a lot to say about that. But before we do, I just want to clean up what we can. That bottom paragraph, I added that because I think we talked about it, but I didn't have any specific notes. And so how does that read to you guys?
I don't like the last sentence, but I like the rest of it.
I didn't like half the Sundays.
What?
I think it was too much. So I think having, if we're giving him the time to prepare everything and for him to have to be here during that time, I feel it's too much to say half the Sundays.
Does he still have a ministry position or assistant?
No, he doesn't.
Okay. He's working.
Well, what I thought is if we did have that in there, let's pay him something.
If we're making him come to small groups, maybe. Yeah.
Didn't the meeting before he say, he kind of indicate that that really wasn't in his headset to do this?
Yes. I think he said
that he was open to visiting the connect the small groups. Okay, but it didn't. Or maybe it was the preaching in the fall.
Yeah, and it wasn't.
I think it was the preaching. I think we just talked to Sarah about when it. Because we talked about September.
For sure, not before the 1st of October. I know that was the starting date, but I don't remember. Maybe we didn't actually specify half the date.
Kind of like Jeff, since that we're not paying him until January or whatever, to require him to come or to ask him to come.
If he comes, half of them, that's it. Yeah. We just don't put it in there, I think.
Yeah.
Are you okay if they're here very little during the 4 months?
Yeah.
Or is there something there that's an expectation we need to figure out how to verbalize?
Well, let's say if we had hired a guy that lived in Colorado.
Yeah, we wouldn't expect him.
We wouldn't expect him to be here. Huh.
He may show, we may say, come this Sunday, like in the middle or something, and you could preach that Sunday just as a...
Yeah.
Preparation, but I mean, I don't think we
would. I think they probably will.
Just tell him he's welcome. We'd love to have him come just to observe anytime he wants to, because again, we're not hiring him until January 1st, giving that freedom.
And I think personally, he'll want to, take advantage of any opportunities to connect, but I don't know. I'm just a little uncomfortable saying, you need to be here half the Sundays.
When we're not paying yet.
Okay.
Maybe we can put a sentence in there, we welcome your involvement prior to start date to, get to know staff members, et cetera. We can work with you on that, but maybe limit it to something like that.
Take them out to dinner.
We can have them over for
simple things like that.
So take it out is better than try to figure out how to say it.
I think so.
Okay. I just had a flash a while ago, but when I read on Facebook that McKaylee is going back to graduate school, and I thought, I wonder if she'd like to be a part-time,
children's minister.
Children's minister.
What is she studying?
Counseling.
Is that what she's saying?
I think for the sake of Nathan, maybe not.
Maybe not. Okay.
That would be a little awkward.
I don't know, though. The kids who were under her, there's not many of them left.
Yes, they still actually go and have coffee with her every Friday.
Yeah. Who does?
The youth group that are the older ones.
Okay, right, but no one that was in the youth group.
Including the ones that don't go to church here anymore.
Yeah.
So, and that are in college and stuff like that. So it's positive. They're still trying to keep that relationship, but they're also encouraging them to be involved in their church.
Yeah.
So I've been, my daughter's been one of them, so I've pushed her away from it because I'm positive. But.
All right. Does the sabbatical sentence hold up?
Yeah, I like that.
I don't care for it.
Okay.
I like something in there.
What's that?
I like having something like that in there.
What's wrong with it? What feels wrong about it?
Well, I'm old school, okay? I mean, I've never taken a sabbatical in my life. And to me, it's a calling. And God calls you to do something. It just seems to me that, it's a choice. But somebody's coming in at his age wanting to, say, when can I take my first sabbatical? It's a turnoff for me.
But he's not done
that. Yeah, he's not said that.
Yeah.
Right. We just, it's common enough, and it would be good to not have that be a mystery, I think, if we are open to that, and we have been. So I wanted something in there that didn't commit us.
I think he's communicated that he's probably going to want something like that.
I think he did.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say expect or demand, but those may be a little bit. He'd be surprised that we wouldn't have had the wherewithal to put that in there. I understand. I'm not saying your position's wrong. I'm saying from his perspective, it's wrong.
Yeah.
I think based on the candidate that's in front of us, that we need to have something like that in there, you know, just based on understanding what he needs.
All right.
I'm with you. I've had no sabbaticals. But it's just whatever is expected of the field or the role.
It probably, I think it actually becomes a little bit of one of those compromising, negotiating points, and he's already expressed that as a value.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Good. And I think this gives us lots of room to discuss what it accomplishes if it happens. Like we have before, so. All right, the rest of the time I want to talk about this mentoring, ongoing mentoring, with Carson's input. This seems like a really good thing to have these mentoring mentions in here. And so, and Carson agrees, it is a great idea to have, like this number one, a small multi-generational group of leaders, but it was a red flag for Carson. For it's kind of like Ethan needs to have a lot of say in that group and how often they meet and things like that. And as opposed to us having this nebulous management team, it might sound like that, oh, he has to report to them, and oh, he's got to report to Jeff as a mentor and the elders as well. Mm-hmm. It just felt confusing and thought that it's a great idea to have that, but if we could spell out that Ethan helps create that life. For example, meet monthly with a small multi-generational group of leaders you help create for encouragement and feedback. That kind of thing would go a long way. We don't have to, you know, put on a lot more than that, and we have time to think about what that looks like. And then also, instead of meeting with Jeff, meeting with a mentor, a really good idea. But he was advocating Jeff might not be the best person for that. Nothing against Jeff at all. It's just the, again, you don't want to create another manager. You want someone that helps him grow. And typically, a minister might choose their mentor that they would ask to be able to work with. And, hey, can we FaceTime once a whatever? And that kind of thing was what Carson was advocating as a stronger way to flesh that out. But also that Jeff being available as a resource would be really valuable, just not a formal arrangement. Well, was kind of his way of saying it.
Yeah, he seemed like it. I think he asked for a specific
thing.
He asked specifically if Jeff would be around to help him.
Yes, and so the way I thought to say that would be number two could be meet monthly with a mentor you help select for encouragement and feedback.
And he may select Jeff, but we don't want to put it in writing, so he can do that.
No. Number three would be Jeff Kreider's available as a resource to you. Very open-ended, vague. If Jeff is the mentor, that's fine. But that was just Carson's way of kind of shaping, putting a little more flesh on that, that he's not going to have three groups to report to. You know, this is helping him grow is a way to say it. I hope I'm representing that well.
So say number three again.
Jeff Kreider's available as a resource to you. And if that is an okay way to say it,
that gives him a chance to choose who he would like. I could see that.
So is that 2B or is that 3?
Yeah, what
three.
If we instead say as, for number two.
It's different than the mentor.
I don't get it.
Yeah, for number two, say meet monthly with Jeff Kreider or a mentor of your choosing.
No. So you're saying he will have two meetings and possibly three.
Yeah,
so he'll have two meetings, and if he wants, he can also meet with Jeff on top of that. But Jeff can't be his mentor is what you're saying.
No.
Carson's advocacy, and I can see, you know, and it's not any offense at all to Jeff. You made yourself very available, and you will be a tremendous resource to him. But I don't want him to I don't want to advocate that Ethan feels like he's got to live up to Jeff's precedence.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know?
And I think I don't want to put Ross you in a... Though.
Yeah, he was... it was pretty clear to me that he loved the idea that he'd be meeting with Jeff, and yeah, he was kind of depending on that.
Yeah. Okay. And that's where I think Carson in the South and us up here in the North, there's a gap of different systems that I wouldn't agree with him on with some things. Just me.
Okay. I would make it 2B. I would say, you know, you need to meet with a mentor. You know, we're not saying it has to be Jeff, but he's available if you need him.
Okay.
Which I guess that's what I was referencing, Rob. That's what you just said.
Oh, yeah. Meet monthly with Jeff Kreider or another mentor of your choosing.
I wouldn't say that. I would say a mentor of your choosing.
Which could be.
Because if you say it your way, we are leading him. And you say it the other way, and it's his decision, but you're an option.
Same idea. We don't want to be leading him.
Put me in as an example.
No. So I would stand on the idea of, no, we don't want to have Kreider being the sole source, because it means the expectations are going to change for Ethan.
Right.
Because it's like, he has to be Jeff. Mm-hmm. And if he's the mentor, then that's the expectation that you're going to be filling his shoes. Mm-hmm. But we want Ethan to fill Ethan's shoes, mm-hmm, and to develop into something that is Ethan, not that we have another Kreider here.
Yeah,
it's not a problem to have another Kreider, let's say, but it's just the fact that we don't really want to push him into the mold of Jeff.
I think the point of the mentoring, though, is not to... Again, I get the point, because it's all subjective, and one could try to remake one into my own image. Ethan, you're not looking enough like me.
gotta get some.
That's right.
Yeah.
but I think there is something to be said for knowing the history of people, understanding the background.
Yeah.
You know, appreciating that Barb Eichley is trying to avoid surgery now, and she's a ministry leader in the food pantry, and mostly a good part of it. I mean, she's has a little extra weight, but could be from hauling boxes around, all you know, through this thing. And so she, this is like a real world need, because it just came to me just now. Okay, I just got it, and she's like, we're gonna have to do something. You know, we are. Who's the we? Who's the we? So my point is just to know.
50 pounds of meat and, you know, carry it upstairs and,
Say again?
Meet somebody who can...
Well, just out to the cars and up those steps and all of that when you get 10 or 12 families, not to get us sidetracked, but my point being to have the knowledge base doesn't make sense to not... In my mind, doesn't make sense. This is not about him trying to do things my way or remake it. It's about, like, gosh, anybody with half a brain would want to know about things. Right. Want to know Dale Simpson's background and history, and who's Mary Ellen, and what about the Connollys I forgot their names.
WC,
and Virginia Conley, you know, and we forget about them. They're right down here. Those kinds of things.
Exactly. And Carson reiterated what you said.
Yeah.
You have a valuable role to play.
Yeah.
Just us assigning you as the mentor is how that works.
I understand. Right. So I'm just trying to work it out a both and. That's all I'm trying
to
do.
And I want
to, I don't feel like.
To your point, I don't know. That risk always exists in that whoever mentors someone, you know, is that person finding their own voice? So maybe Jeff's, they turn into Jeff, but whoever you mentor him, that risk exists that they're going to turn into whoever that mentor is. And so, again, our role as elders is, you know, keep telling them, you got to find your own voice. Whoever your mentor is, you know, you can't let them push you around. You got to make your own decisions. And so, you know, he could turn into a Jeff, but he could turn into whomever that person is.
And I wonder, instead of saying meet monthly, meet regularly.
That's what I
like that.
Too.
Yeah. Okay.
For both of these.
Yes.
Yeah, because I thought. I mean, if you think about it, that's a lot of meeting with mentors to really.
Maybe mentoring is even a little bit the wrong word. It does, because mentoring does have a little bit more of that transformational property embedded in it, and to a certain degree, that may be a, that may feel, I can see why he would want to choose that. But I also, but I think there is a part of this is just about, what is the, he had the word. He used it.
Institutional knowledge.
Institutional
knowledge. Yeah, I'm trying to think of that word.
Institutional knowledge. And how do we protect the institutional knowledge if Jeff's not here and gone? Mm-hmm. So.
I just think with Ethan's personality, he's not going to be put off by that. Just because he's been in the educational field,
yeah.
and that's very much
yeah.
that
yeah, yeah.
kind of and, situation.
And, I think you're right. That he's looking for that. He seems very teachable.
The biannual review by elders for feedback, job performance, and PhD progress, is that how long do we do the biannual? We don't do it for Nathan or any other ministers biannually, do we?
No, we don't. It seems like it makes sense that Ethan would need that or welcome that instead of 12 months going by.
Yeah, but I'm thinking, but, yeah, for the first couple of years, but right. not forever.
Just. You want me to say for our first 2 years? All right. Let's see. I think that covers. Oh, just one last little seed about mentoring and Carson's feedback is that it's not unheard of that a church, if someone selects a mentor, maybe they're remote or whatever, that the church pays that mentor for time with the candidate who is being mentored. And I had, that was news to me, and I just want to pass that along as a model. I don't think we have to flesh that out here at all. But
just a couple of names, Sue, he can recommend if we were.
He would, yeah, and the one thing he emphasized that it'd be great for Ethan to has a lot of say in who his mentor is, but then he said, I've got a couple good candidates if you want to recommend them. And so that was interesting.
$175 an hour.
Well, he has $1,500 right there for education and training. And he can determine if he wants to use that.
Anyway, I thank you for helping flesh that out. What I'll do is I'll take this. I'll do my best for a draft. I'll put it out for your thoughts, and we can polish it from there. Hey, you know, let's
I have a quick
this,
question. How are we presenting this to him? Are we sending it to him and then letting him look at it before we meet? Or are we going to be there to meet with him when he sees it for the first time so we can kind of get that?
It's about time.
Explain and give context.
Sorry, I'm so late. No, I didn't plan to come up here. I just thought I'd, I don't know if you talked about Ethan already.
We're talking in it right now.
Okay. Cool.
Would you like to chime in?
I would love to chime in.
Have a seat right there.
Yeah,
12 seconds.
I figured I'm here. I might as well
give him that.
You heard about Shuri, right?
Yes.
So what Ross just brought up is 8E, next steps. What does that look like?
Well, before we get there,
yeah.
What's your feedback on him? What are your thoughts?
I love Ethan. I think I don't really have any reservations or anything, really. I just I liked both of his sermons. I think he's a good guy. I had coffee with him two Thursdays ago, and I thought that went really well. I was kind of trying to gauge more of like a leadership type thing as far as staff goes and stuff like that. But I really like him. So
great.
I don't know what everyone else is feeling, but
yeah, thumbs up here.
Yeah,
we're all
on the same page.
So. Still a confidential stage, but right now we did decide we want to make him an offer.
All right.
And we're just talking now about the next steps in doing that. We've been fleshing out a kind of a document that talks about the position and what all is involved. And so Ross raised a really good question. Do we give him this to chew on and then meet? Do we make an offer, put it in his hand? He's got to come back to us. We give him plenty of timeline, but what is that? That'd be another way to do it. I kind of like that idea better, mm-hmm. so that we can provide verbal context for what we put in his hand and even let him skim it and talk about it.
I think it needs to be done at the sacred table because God has blessed our sacred table.
Panera.
Panera. Yeah. A lot. God's answered a lot of prayers from that place. You guys did meet there, right?
We did.
Okay, good. All right.
Our next meeting is July 1, 2 weeks from now. And so I don't think it has to wait till then since we made decisions tonight, as long as we can put this in a format that we all are comfortable with. And
I would suggest Jeff and Don meet with them again with
okay.
a formalized MOU.
That sounds good. Once we have this finalized, you guys can make an appointment with them to, and then are you guys comfortable expecting him to take a month to get back to us, ask questions, or what feels better?
Well, we ask him how much time he needs.
Okay.
Yeah. Because the baby is going to be born mid-July at the latest. Mm-hmm. So it could be born anytime before that since it's the first especially. Okay. So we should also be very cognizant of that because if the baby's born, we should not expect him to give us an answer.
Life changes.
Yeah.
No,
so I think, you know, one, you know, you two need to do it in person. If we just send him the document, it's transactional and I don't like the feel of that. It's like, you know, hey, we want you, and here's some of the details, but that's secondary. And then the other is, you know, give them time to think, but I would, hey, do you have any strong reservations? I'd like to know. He should be able to voice those fairly soon if there's any concerns that he's got. But, yeah, give him time to chew on it, but, you know, if he's got any strong reservations, you know, please work with
him. I like doing that even before we get on the document. I like not asking for reservations, but I like letting him know that we're putting together this document, that we like to meet with him in a, I don't know, week, but we're ready to make him an offer. I think
Well, that's exactly what we told him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And how did he respond to that?
That's when he said, well, you know, I'm not ready to make a decision yet until, you know, until we
I'd like to see the package, kind of like think about it.
Okay.
Hard to tell exactly what,
where
his reservation was at that point. But
that was right at the beginning of the discussion, so I don't know how he would answer at the end of the discussion.
Okay.
So are we saying, I missed this, the nuance of this, then. Are we saying we'll set up an appointment and meet with him, and I think that makes 100% sense. In some ways, I can see an advantage of him having some time to think about it prior. So are we thinking about sending it a couple of days ahead of time, or are we going over it with him?
Yeah. So my thought is, you're going to give us a draft. We'll beat on it.
Yeah.
And then once we beat on it, you know, you don't make an appointment until then. And then, hey, this is good to go. And then you guys say, yeah, we prayed about it. We talked about it. We want you. And, hey, we've got some details. But this document should be secondary to his decision. And, you know, so I wouldn't send it to him before you guys meet. That's my preference if I had my druthers.
Especially considering that he has reservations about administration and we have a whole big chunk about administration here. We want to make it clear to him, like provide the context that we're flexible and that we'll help him figure it all out.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
And if he needs more clarity, you know, he's welcome to ask for that. So that's good.
Earlier someone asked if it's okay to take a month for him to reply. Like, we'll ask him how long he needs, but if he needs a month, that's fine, right? Everybody's good with that?
That seems long to me.
It
does. It's like, you know, I appreciate him praying and maybe not knowing the answer and all, but I also think if it's a no, we got to get going.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So, we've been talking to him for a couple months.
Yeah, he's got a no in his mind already, where he's leaning one way or the other.
I would feel more, I would have thought 2 weeks, but I could be persuaded to say three, but
two. Agree.
I like to say one.
One to two.
I think 2 weeks is.
Give him and his wife a week to say, you know, does this fit or not?
Yeah, they've been talking about it already.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So a week to me is.
Well, but we are giving them information that they haven't had.
Yeah, okay.
Right. Financially, is this going to make sense? Maybe they've got to talk to a financial planner or I don't know what they want to do, but so I'm comfortable with 2 weeks. I mean,
10 days.
Compromise.
So, can we get it done by the end of the week?
That's today.
End of the month.
End of the week. Get this finished by the end of the week. So that next week they can meet with them, and then
that would be helpful for me because I'm gone the week of 4th of July. Mm-hmm.
Plus, yeah, then he's also the baby. So that's where my mind
is. Two hens before because the
baby's due. Yeah, so if we make sure that we have it to him before,
I like that.
Where he has 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But if the baby fits in there, then we shouldn't expect it him right. to give a decision. So that's where it gets really sticky because do we say, okay, you passed your 2 weeks and, well, we had a baby on this day. Well, sorry.
Yeah. I should be able to get this out on Wednesday.
Okay.
Well, okay. Or you can meet with him this week.
Well, we want to work through that.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll expect once I put it together, there'll be a little tweaking you guys
want to
do.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure we'll have some edits, I guess, is my thought.
Again.
But, yeah.
Okay.
But
my notes are always so good.
Who's doing the July 1st?
Early next week.
That's elder meeting? Okay. It's back to Steve. Okay.
Did he specifically address his, you said, administration concerns?
Say, I'm sure he can work with that Nathan guy.
That's what he told me. He said, you know what, if you quit, I'll let them hire me. No.
Did he express some things to you along that line?
So he asked me, he said, if there is something I could change about my job, what would I change? And I said, I'd probably hire like an associate minister for the staff, just to kind of ease the load of the things that have kind of been spread between us, being me, Elizabeth, probably Jeff a little bit, but
Kaylin,
yeah. So, I mean, it's not like we need this or we're gonna fail, but it's like it'd be nice. Even if it's like part time or something, I don't know.
Yeah, that makes sense. It makes total sense.
And he seemed to agree with that point of if we had an associate minister to kind of take on some of those tasks.
Yeah, it's an executive minister kind of role.
Yeah.
That's interesting. The church my daughter goes to, they have their worship leader. He's a worship leader and an executive minister, so he does two of those roles.
And it was interesting, we were just at the elder, area-wide elders, and that was my word. Well, we were talking about the Greek words and how there's kind of vision, or that's not actually the word Carson used, but it's more the spiritual development, spiritual insight leaders, and then there's the shepherding aspect, and then there's the administration. And that's just a big deal in our world.
Yeah,
you know, it's inevitable. You even when you don't want it to be, it is just to be organized and on task and check your spelling and, you know, put sentences together. And there's just a lot to that whole area that is.
And you know how many classes I had on that in ministry?
Zero.
Nothing. Yes. But back then it was different. You didn't have as much of that back then.
Yeah, that's true. It's changed, but it is it's so preeminent.
Yeah.
It has to be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Gentlemen, I hate to cut out early, but the Fitzgerald assisted living
situation.
My Debbie's brother-in-law is living with us right now. So.
Wow.
And I've got to go get him.
Don, you just got out of the closing prayer. Actually, we do have a couple more things to talk about on the agenda, and Jeff gets to leave early as well. So
yeah.
Might as well
be
that
also.
Yeah. Is that it on Ethan?
Yeah. Yep.
That's all I care about today.
No. Jeff, see you in the morning.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
I'll be on a call probably when you get here. So.
About 10 o'clock, I'm guessing.
10 o'clock, yeah.
Oh, and 9:30, somebody pick up DBS stuff. Yay.
Okay.
I have to remember to open the door for her.
Okay. Yep. Good night, guys.
Good night.
All right.
All right.
Here's some.
Yeah.
I printed out some texting that I had with Harry.
Okay. Wait, there's multiple.
No, sorry, you got the wrong one there. Well, you can keep that one too. Where did the rest of them go? Okay. Got one. Here we go. Here's the texting. Who didn't get the texting?
I got only this one.
All I got was the texting. Oh, there's every
other page. Yeah, so it's every other page.
Okay. Every other page here.
So then,
you got that one. One more.
Text. One more text?
Yeah.
All right. And then here's one for the Sunday schedule preaching. Yeah. So everybody got two pages?
Dave needs a schedule.
Needs a schedule, okay.
Extra schedule.
I need one of these.
Okay. Okay, so texting, I talked
to you. You got the schedule page.
What do you need?
Schedule. Schedule. Okay. Two pages. Thank
you. Just two pages, two separate pages. Yeah, one's texting and one's Sunday schedule.
Okay.
Okay, so that for the reception for Jeff, I've texted with Carrie. She's kind of in charge, and she asked me what kind of budget we have. So let me just read through the text I had with her. That describes our conversation better, me explaining it. Steve, if this is me. Carrie, what kind of budget are you thinking about for the retirement party? Carrie, let me start with whether you can support requiring the congregation to RSVP. It is expensive to do a catered meal, and right now I'm getting an average per person of $15. 300 guests is probably $5,000 with tax and tip. If we required an RSVP, we may find a lower number we need to commit to for a meal. Also, is there a gift you need us to purchase and budget? Decorations, invitations, postage, etc. If we skip formal printed cards for the individuals who have RSVP'd, we can reduce costs. So many things in the air. Is $6,000 reasonable? And you know that I don't spend other people's money if I don't have to. Steve, I will present this to the elders. Thanks. Carrie, Steve, I have called numerous caterers and find the best pricing is still almost $6,000 with tax and delivery. And this doesn't include dessert or drinks, decorations, etc. We may be talking $7,500 when it is all said and done. I am not opposed to asking the congregation to do desserts, or I will price out a cake. Steve, don't do anything until I talk with the elders. I passed on your earlier text to one of them, and his response was something like, wasn't thinking about something like that, was thinking about something more casual. Carrie, this is casual, believe me, unless they want potluck casual. These are not fancy, barbecue, Mexican, etc. So, it's a little more than what I was in my mind thinking, and then Dave's the one that kind of agreed with me. But the whole thing is a lot more than what I was ever anticipating. You know, and Jeff gave us the list of 200 people he wanted us to invite, people from out of town that had been here before, wanting to make it more of a reunion. And that kind of took me back, something like that. But again, I was comparing it to my retirement. I told him, I don't want anything. Let's just something. But that's not what he wants, and that's okay. So I've got a couple opinions I'll say later, but what do you guys think?
I didn't realize he had requested a couple hundred invitations. And so that is a pretty big scale. Because I wasn't sure, wow, 300 for the meal. I didn't know where that was coming from. And so that helps explain that.
And a lot of those people live all over the country that probably wouldn't come, and they're invited to put together a 30-second video.
Okay.
But I talked to Jeremy Picker, he's planning on coming, Bob Griggs planning on coming, Phil Gold, people that have been on staff before, Dale Robinson probably.
And they're on their own for a hotel or stay with friends or whatever. We're not, you know, accommodating all that. Okay.
But on the two,
Glenn sent out something to all of the small group leaders. Because I got one in my memory. I think my memory is get the RSVPs from your group.
Start
gathering that. So I, our group breaks for the summer, but I think we need to communicate what they're RSVPing to. And so I don't know. I would think if it's something after church, during class time, lots of the congregation will stay.
Mm-hmm.
And plus however many visitors we're doing.
So if he's got 200, maybe 50 show, right?
Yeah, that's what
I'm thinking. The other is, when they talk about catered, you know, it's $6,000. You know, I can get some great barbecue for, you know, a couple thousand dollars. Now, I'm going to serve it, but, you know, I'm not going to have people sitting there putting food on my plate. And so, again, I don't know what the expectation is. The dollars just seem huge.
What are we getting for $15 a person?
Well, yeah, and it's like, so I wouldn't care what we get. I would just say, yeah, $3,000 to spend, and you know, however you make that work.
So this is the new prices. So even for your wedding, I'm sure it was $20-$30 a plate.
So again, what I'm saying
but this one is bandanas. So if you
right,
call
but
bandanas,
again, what I'm
that's
saying
what
is that if you got somebody there throwing food on your plate, it's expensive. You got to pay for those people. But if you go out and get bandanas, or if you go out and get Sugar Fire,
and the church serves,
and the church serves, you can get a ton of barbecue.
You can get a little bit more.
You can get,
but
not much
different. It's still $10 still.
Yeah,
it's not going to be that much.
My wife checked it out. We were driving. Bandanas was expensive, yeah, and she checked out Adams Barbecue. I never heard of it, but we got that for my mother-in-law for something.
Yeah.
And that was a lot cheaper.
But bandanas is around 10. Yeah. And then Sugar Fire is expiry 11 or 12.
So
when we did it for the mission.
Gwen has been working some with Carrie, hasn't she?
A little bit.
Any input that Gwen has had?
Not really. I mean, working on the RSVPs, I think these dollar amounts is, I don't think they're unreasonable. I mean, God's been with us all this, you know, 20 plus in county and Night Crossing, and I know his immediate family and his children and grandchildren, I don't know how many that is, probably about 25 or so, you know. So then I would imagine most of the congregation, if it's right at the church, will stay, you know. So that's about another 100. You know, so I think we can get up to that 200 real, and then we had out of town guests that you mentioned. You know, I think we can get to that 200 number. You know, I wouldn't be surprised 175 to 200 would be the number,
which would be about 5,000 according to this.
Yeah, in my mind, I was thinking about 300, counting our church and people coming from out of town.
Okay,
maybe 250. I don't know.
Yeah,
but RSVPing, we would know.
And then if it's $15 a person, 300 is that $4,500? You know, and that, and what does that include? I mean, so.
Well, and the other is, I don't know what RSVPing, how that will help. So in that, you know, you get this list of RSVPs, and you get people coming here Sunday. Hey, you didn't sign up, you can't eat.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, the RSVPs don't mean anything in what we're talking about.
Yeah, it'll probably be helpful with the out-of-town people.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to narrow it down to, I would think, maybe 20. So you're going to be off.
It would if we charged.
Right.
But that would be it, and I don't see us. No. I don't think that's something we'd
And so
do.
I don't know if the RSVPs are going to be that helpful. I would think we just go on 300. And the other is, I just don't want other people putting food on plates. That's just weird to me.
I don't think, I think it's them delivering is what the way she termed it.
So that's what it is,
and we do all the stuff.
Yeah.
And so I think what we just have to decide is what we want. Do we want, you know, in my mind, I was thinking, well, maybe we buy the main dish and we have the church bring sides and desserts.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I was thinking along, but
And I like that. So if you've ever gone to Sugar Fire to get like catered food, it's crazy the way that they combine things. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, you get a ton of food you'd never eat. You know, you got like 10 pounds of, you know, mashed potatoes, and it's like you got three people. It's like, well, so you never go with their standard meal. You just get a bunch of their meat, you know, some of their, you know, other sides. But yeah, I think just bring it. Have people bring it in or just buy it from somewhere else. But if you get their standard meals, that's going to be expensive.
So catered isn't the right term that we want to use, but, you know, ordering the main dish, and then I think the congregation can absolutely do desserts and drinks, and whether they do sides as well, or but we order the main dish, and then do we order sides, or do we ask the congregation to do that?
And maybe we
is a
actually
fork in the
have
road,
a
but I do think, you know, and we can have folks serve and volunteer and get that lined up. I you know, so it's a little nicer than a potluck. Yep. Jeff and Becky like nice things, but
and
it will certainly be the community
tables
putting
out,
that on.
Decorate the tables. We'll do all that kind of stuff, and I think you can get a maximum of 250 with tables. We got more.
Yeah, I was wondering what our, because if we have 300 or we prepare for 300,
We'll have to put people in the hallway and in the classroom.
So there's...
If you put...
It's four by four. Because then it's one, two, three, four. One, two, three, four tables. And you can put up to seven comfortably at one of the tables. So, and then there's two sides. So I'm just trying to think. So you have...
16,
32, 32
times
7. Yeah,
something like that. So that's under 250.
Yeah, so it's around 250-ish. So
we have to use if we have 300, we'd have
but to the other thing is we have to figure out how to serve.
Yeah.
So the issue is that the last two fellowships we've had people have to wait more than 30 minutes mm-hmm. to even, like, just standing in line.
Yeah.
And so that's where we'll have to figure out double-sided, something.
Yeah. Definitely double-sided.
Yeah. And that's but, where the... They decide all that. We don't have to worry
about it. But we'll have to make sure that they know because they can't have one just one table like they did the last two times.
Two main tables, like double-sided and double-sided. Like we do for the pancake breakfast, multiple tables.
Yes.
You know, so have them set up in different places in the cafeteria.
But,
and again, you know, Jeff's a great guy. He's been here a long time. But $6,000, that's a big number. You know, plus we're giving him $30,000 already, so.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and she said, are we planning on a gift for them, and I'm thinking, no, we're doing a gift. Mm-hmm. But my suggestion is we tell the congregation, if you want to donate money for a money tree, and we get like Kay Heinz and maybe even Gwen, or get two people to kind of take care of that and get the money from them to put together a money tree.
Or a gift card tree.
That would be the gift.
Pardon me?
That would be the gift from the congregation.
I would think so. Maybe we get a plaque or something. Something nice that from the church, a crystal vase or
wind chime.
Wind chimes.
The elders pitched in for something for Jeremiah. Mm-hmm. What was it, $500 or something like that, I think. I don't know if Jeff would be insulted if we didn't do that.
Well, I think we could tell him, look, you know, what your gift is 3 months of
$30,000.
He's got to appreciate that.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
And so I just didn't want to miss what's most important to him.
Yeah.
So let's see. So.
Yeah, something I like, and I did this with AJ when he left, is, and we used to do this at Mid-County, is, you know, we have this treasure in jars of clay. Just getting a simple jar of clay. And, you know, it just means a lot, you know.
Yeah, I still have
I think
mine.
Something like that is just, you know, it's very, very meaningful.
I don't know if a money tree.
Or maybe a gift card tree.
Or so a money tree to go on a trip.
Yeah, because, I mean, they're going to travel a lot. I mean, like a gift card tree would sort of make it where there's restaurants on there, there's Amazon, whatever else, things that they can, and most people would prefer to give a gift card than they would prefer to give cash.
Really?
I think so nowadays. Because a lot of the things that Sophie got for graduation were gift cards. Mm-hmm. They weren't cash. Correct. They weren't checks anymore. So, I mean, she got a couple checks and some cash, but overarching has now become this gift card thing. And
but I wonder if we gave a money tree, they could take that together and use that for going on a special trip or something.
Yeah.
I like the idea of a money tree for a trip. I mean, this is a retirement, and you associate retirement with taking kind of little vacations. Mm-hmm. So I think. Either one, gift card work too with that, but you know the money tree is to me it seemed more pointed toward, hey, this is what you guys use for a trip, get away, go do something for a weekend, go visit your kids, whatever you want to do, you know.
We just need to get that done earlier though than that day.
Yeah.
Yes.
So right. Just making sure that everybody turns the money in early.
And July 8th is a good time to announce something like that because they will be here.
Tell Brian to pause the video and
yeah.
I won't be here that day.
Yeah.
I can't tell him nothing.
So what I called Jerry Williams and asked him what they did for Mike Root when he retired. Mm-hmm. And they had a dinner on Saturday night and people paid to come. Florissant paid for most of it. People paid $10.
per ticket. And then they put together money for them to go down to Branson and just have a time down there.
So if we pay for the main item, is it barbecue? Is it Porter's chicken?
I like Porter's chicken.
I don't know what, again, Jeff and Becky made like nice things, but it doesn't.
Well, that's where they make, we just tell them how much money they have.
That's for Terry to figure out what to do with it.
Yeah.
Get El Indio to come in because that's where they're at every Sunday, so.
So what is the budget?
Yeah, what is the budget?
That's what we have to decide.
I'd say $3,000.
Well, that's what I'm trying to figure out. If we say it's $3,000 and it's only for the meat.
Mm-hmm. And decorations.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Because, so that's the other thing, if we wanted to decorate it. But I think that it's feasible. So I just did VBS for less than $500 to decorate the gym. Probably even less than 200. So it depends on who's decorating, but I mean, and I know Carrie, so I mean, but she does things well. So it's.
Are you talking tablecloths or what are you talking about?
Yeah, balloons, whatever, centerpieces and things like that. Because we have lots of stuff already that's already in the closet, but I mean, it's just, if she's going out to buy everything, let's say. Yeah. So $500 is probably more than enough for decoration. So that puts us at 15 if we are saying that that's including the decorations. If we're saying it's not, then we're looking at 2,500. So if we're including the decorations in our
budget. We say 3,000 for the food.
And 500 for decoration.
500 for decorations and then money for mailing.
What's the mailing for?
For a hard copy out to the invitation to people.
Those 200 people, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Because the congregation, we're asking the small groups to, we don't need to mail something.
Yeah, this 200 are people outside of our congregation.
Have they already been invited?
I think they've been invited via the internet, e-vites.
So do we need to send out something physically?
I was going to say,
I think it's a good idea.
If we've done an Evite already, it's sort of overkill, I think.
Okay.
A bit. I mean, that's what I feel. I mean.
So, Steve, are we sure they've been invited already? The Evites?
I think they've been invited, those that they have the emails for.
Okay.
And they were trying to get the snail mail address for them also.
Okay.
And Todd Mayberry is working on a flyer to put into the snail mail, or maybe it's a postcard. I don't think that would cost a lot.
So right now we're at 3,000.
Well, even if it's a buck a card and it's
plus
almost 70 cents for a stamp, and then 80. If you want RSVPs, you put a card in there with a stamp for them to come back. That's the way those things are done. So you're talking $3 a head.
Okay.
That's $600 right there.
You just put a postcard and put on there a QR code for them to go on to RSVP.
Mm. Well, is a card going to change somebody's mind? How many people's mind would it change?
Are we trying to change people's mind?
It depends on their age. right. If you get an e-vite, you know how emails are.
Right.
People just don't.
Yeah, I ignore so many emails.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it would be from a named address. It's not going to be from MailChimp or something. You would hope it'd be from somebody you know. But
I could support a postcard invite.
Yeah.
Not all the return address stuff.
Yeah.
If you think that would help, and that's for outside the congregation.
But that needs to go out pretty soon.
Yeah, our goal was the second week of July, first or second week of July. First week of July.
That gives a little over a month. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we're saying $3,000 for the meat and $500 for decorations.
And what is on the postcard?
It'll be have a picture of them. Come join us for a reunion and retirement, whatever, for Jeff and Becky Kreider.
What about the video you were talking about?
On there, say if you can't make it, if you like to put a video, send your video to 30-second video to.
So that'll be on the postcard as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
And what are we going to do with that video?
We'll show it that day.
So 200 people send in 30-second video.
200 people aren't going
to see. No.
I know. I'm just trying to get numbers
just
in my
imagine
head.
Imagine if they did.
Right.
And it'll... So if we even get a 50. Lot, then we just show it while people are eating and then give it to them
so
afterwards.
That seems reasonable, yeah.
Yeah, because if you think... If you send it 300 and you have 50 of them, that's a third or so. And...
Okay.
And then you're...
And I would probably then say, like, Phil Gold, if he's coming and he's got a video... We don't show the video.
Right.
I don't know.
Sorry.
That's through, yeah.
We're kicking yours out.
Or you put it in the main, I don't know.
I get your point, yeah.
But yeah, give the video to Jeff and Becky.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
That would be great.
So the church will do dessert, drinks, and sides.
Do what?
The church will do dessert, drinks, and sides. And
it'll be self-serve then, the tables?
Money tree for the gift.
Well, and the drinks, we provide usually drinks. The church does with
lemonade, iced tea is what we're talking
so,
about.
So, what we should do is have a sign up for that. That way, we'd be sure to have the right amounts of everything. So, like putting it like an online version of something, and then they can go out there and sign. I'm bringing chips. I'm bringing this. I'm bringing
like carry drive.
Exactly.
That's her.
Just make sure that she knows that that's something that needs to be done.
Okay.
I'm sure she probably will think through all that.
Well, but the thing, I know Carrie, and I know what Carrie's done the last time. She's done it all herself.
Yeah, she's over.
And
well, she's already got a group. Gwen, Todd Mayberry, I'm on the group, but I've been out of town.
But she's not been thinking the idea that we're buying, having the congregation bring stuff.
So that
situation will probably need probably either Brett or Nathan to be involved on the church website.
Yeah.
Which is probably the best place to put something like that.
And, you know, she's got to look at our budget and see that we just don't have a lot of money. And so I'll just tell her that $3,000 is what we were thinking and could afford, and then $500 for
decor and invites, postcard. Both should fit under the $500.
Yeah.
And then if she wants to play with that, borrow from one to help the other, that's fine. That's
right.
Up to her. But we could do that. And
that really would get up to about $15 a person, because we're saying like the $3,000 is like $10 a person. By the time we add sides and drinks and all that, that's another $4 or $5. That's back up to $15 a person,
But people are participating in it at that point, and
I think there is value in that.
Yeah, and in that way, it's not the church paying for it. It's actually...
No, it's not. It's not. So, but you're right. It's the church contributing.
So we could have, like, other than as many tables as we can fit, like that one room we meet in or used to meet in down there.
Yeah, we have the two classrooms.
The overflow, you got the hallway.
Yeah. Right.
That's 16 chairs or something
correct.
Like that. So
right.
Overflow some things.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Has Jeff indicated to anybody if he will be looking for other employment? He kind of talked about that before, and that's part of what that 3 month does.
Yeah,
but
he had intended on looking for another employment. He backed off a little bit from that just in my conversation with him.
Okay.
I talked to my daughter's father-in-law, who's Corporate Chaplains of America. I've never heard of it before, but he said they have some in St. Louis where they, it's almost like EAPs that the companies have, but it's spiritual, a chaplain that goes to different places. And so I kind of mentioned to him a couple months ago, and he didn't see anything, but I talked to my daughter's father-in-law, and he said, no, they have some here. And so that's, I was going to present that to him, possibly.
Okay. I was just...
So he's not, he's retiring from here. He's not retiring from working.
Right.
Not necessarily. He thought he might keep working.
Now,
is that where Danny Lash has been working through?
No, he worked with a hospice group.
Okay, because I know he was chaplain for a while.
Yeah.
Or was it Danny or was it somebody else?
Well, Danny was with a hospice.
Yeah, Danny was with a hospice. So somebody else in St. Louis at one of the churches.
Cody. Well, no, Mike Brown.
So do we have,
Michael's
are we going to line up people for the...
Yeah. Now, okay, I had another thought about the mentoring. If Jeff mentored, paying him something for that, but that's down the road if he chooses him. And I'm just going to throw this out, because I've been thinking about this when I was coming back from Arkansas. Just And in my mind, I was thinking, but I think I'm wrong, 5 hours a week, that's too much. Just paying him $50 an hour, and then he would have to keep up with his hours. And I think.
So I emailed you guys Carson's feedback of the elders. And so you need to read that.
Okay.
And let that help. I'll let his own words help form your opinion.
Okay.
Because Jeff being the mentor is basically not a good idea, but absolutely a resource. Mm-hmm. And then I've got to wrap my mind around paying a mentor for informal encouragement and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean it's a bad idea, because if that helps set Ethan up for success, I'll open my mind to it. But
is it weird if we're paying a mentor but not paying Jeff?
Jeff is, think of it like if I'm trying to be a small group leader and I want to be able to call Steve because he's done it, or he was the guy that used to do it. Mm-hmm. Hey, I'm trying to figure out Margaret. I just cannot.
Yeah.
You know, she's always argumentative or whatever. I want to be able to do that and you available to me.
Yeah.
But I don't want to formalize that arrangement where I have to report to you, you know. Mm-hmm. But in my mind, that mentor is, there's an accountability there that if Ethan initiates, Carson says that's healthy. If he doesn't, us putting that on Ethan, that is to be avoided.
Mm-hmm.
And so but again, read that, because that'll be helpful.
I kind of thought of it in my place, like, you know, I mentor Nathan, but I would never want to be paid for that.
Okay.
But I'm not an employee here. But at CFS, any work I do there, because I was a former employee there, I want them to pay me for that. I don't know if that's parallel with Jeff's situation or not.
Mm-hmm.
I thought some about that.
Okay.
So.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I basically, this last item, I don't want that to sneak up on us. And so take this sheet of dates and think about what makes sense to you, and I'd recommend that as a topic for the next meeting,
if
you want, or how we might start fleshing this out.
Yeah, let me know. I haven't done anything. I will do whatever you want me to do, or not do whatever you don't want me to do with this. These are the dates. These are some people we talked about. I added Jerry Jones because of an email he sent me.
Okay.
And so next time we meet, we can kind of give the input, and then I can, because I think we need to start getting these dates in here, because a lot of people go out of town and everything.
Yep.
What series do we want? You know, around December, do we want to have the Christmas series like we've done before?
Right.
What do we want to do with that?
I guess we already know.
And then I would think if we chose to get Mike Root to come do a series, or Jerry Jones, we plug them in first if they're doing a multiple Sundays. And we may decide not to use them. I don't know. Whatever we want to do.
Gotcha.
Do they come for free?
They probably would. I know Jerry would, but I think we should pay them.
Are we paying the members that are doing it? That are
I think members, people from this church, I don't think we need to for them. But I think somebody coming in.
I think that if we're having members do it and we're paying the people that are coming the other weeks, we should consider paying them.
Oh, really? Okay.
If we're putting a stipend on for people. So I just feel that it's sort of, you're a member there, but it's different. In that situation that we're trying to fill a pulpit with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
If we're doing it where it's like Brad's talking, or Brad's mentioned several times, I think that everybody comes and does it for free. And I'm much more happy to have that situation. And if they determine that they want to do a series and they say that they want to do that, then they're welcome to do a series if we're willing to let them. But it shouldn't be required that we give them money to do that series.
In the past, it's always been Jeff's decision who to put when and where. And I want to take that back from Ethan to say, it's our decision as to whom we're going to put in the pulpits and, you know, pay. And
I was very surprised when we were putting that responsibility on Ethan to select preachers to come and fill in or whatever, guest speakers. I assume that would be an elder.
I see that, you know,
this is my pessimism coming out, but, you know, Apostle Paul says there are men who preach and others that, you know, how's he say it, preach for being paid and others who just preach. And, you know, I think there's a lot of that in the brotherhood, quote unquote. And quite frankly, I think we got so many talented people here in this body that could step up, and we don't have to pay anything for this. With all this other added expense of things we didn't see coming here, I'm really saying this is one way that we can help, you know, manage that budget figure. We didn't have $3,500 in that budget for, you know, a party. So
I will say this is something we can all think and pray about, and when we get together July 1st, we can talk about that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we know we've got some thoughts out there. Any other thoughts we need to be thinking about with that?
I would say it wouldn't hurt my feelings if you started penciling some of this in, Steve, and, you know, we can say yay or nay or move things around, but I think if you got a batting order together, that might help a little bit, kind of give some structure to it.
Well, I'll be in Guatemala next week, so I get back late Saturday night, okay. And so I won't be able to do a whole lot.
Oh, we can talk about it. Okay. So. Okay.
But it would be...
And the other is... So I talked with Eric, and I said, Eric, we got you down to preach. And he said, well, I didn't know about that. I said, well...
Oh, we haven't talked to him.
Okay, so yeah. I thought Steve may have talked to you about that, because he's actually got you down for a series. And it's like, well, he said, well, I haven't heard yet. But he said, I wouldn't be offended. I'd do it, but I just haven't been talked to yet, so...
I hesitate with Eric, because there's no telling what he's going to say.
Right, yeah.
He doesn't have a lot of discernment in areas and...
So, yeah, I think maybe give him a topic or something, but we can talk about that.
Yeah.
And a lot of this I don't think needs to be free form, but hopefully we'll give him some structure.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. So we'll be thinking about what series we want, pay, and then any other input we want, and we can then, after July 1st, start filling in.
Okay. All right, it's late enough. Let me lead us in a prayer. I appreciate all the input. Father, thank you for this time and all the things you're doing here. And sometimes it's overwhelming, and sometimes we feel confident. And Father, we ask you to be all over these decisions. Yes. Please bless the individuals we prayed for earlier and those that we haven't mentioned that need you. Help us to bless them and point them toward you and encourage them. We pray for Ethan and Sarah, the baby growing inside of her. Please knit that child together. May it grow to glorify your name and be a blessing to them too, and they a blessing to it.
Yes.
And help this decision that we have made. We ask your blessing on that, but also continue to flesh that out. And help Ethan. We pray he'll come on board fully and help us make that happen. Give him what he needs. Mm-hmm. And we look forward to that future partnership, and we thank you for providing him as a very realistic possibility. Mm-hmm. We put that in your hands and ask you to get us across the finish line, please, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.